Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is the 31st day of May, a Wednesday. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Delaware County school bus driver is accused of restraining a 10-year-old child in a seat with duct tape, the district attorney's office said Tuesday. Clifton Heights resident 54-year-old Juliette Pratt is being charged for the incident that happened back on March 8th. The investigation began after police were called to Hillcrest Elementary School in Drexel Hill. Surveillance video showed Pratt wrapping duct tape around the child's ankles and chest, even though the child was sitting in a district-supplied safety harness, the DA's office said. She was driving a bus that had a 10-year-old boy who, my understanding, has Down syndrome. He is he's in a special harness on the bus, and she decided, for whatever reason, we don't know, she needed to add additional illegal criminal restraints, District Attorney Jack Stolzheimer said. Investigators say the child was not seen trying to get out of the seat or otherwise move around the bus. After arriving at the school, the DA's office said Pratt used a seatbelt cutter to remove the child from, remove the tape from the child. Using duct tape on a child who was already fully restrained in the vehicle's harness was not only inexcusable, it was also dangerous. Had an incident occurred, the child would have been unable to free himself from the tape, said the district attorney. According to the criminal complaint, Pratt allegedly stated that she used duct tape with this student once before this incident. She is charged with unlawful restraint, false imprisonment, endangering the welfare of a child, and assault. And also, these bus drivers know there's cameras on their bus. Like, yeah. What the hell?
I can't even. There's no good reason that comes to mind.
This is terrible.
There's no element of that story that makes any sense.
Yeah.
The Upper Darby School District released a statement saying, "We are aware of the incident involving a school bus driver and a student. We are cooperating with local authorities in the investigation of this incident. This is a personal matter. The individual is no longer driving buses at this time."
To that point, how camered up are the buses?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of districts put them on all of their buses.
Like
so.
Multiple cameras or like...
Oh, I'm not sure, Steve. I don't know how many views there are. But, I a lot of them you see from like above
the driver.
Yeah, above the bus driver. And then
like you can see
backwards.
A little bit of the bus driver and then the rest of it back. Because there was that story a couple weeks ago when the bus driver had a medical attack and the kid had to take over. And you could see the bus driver slumped over, so maybe it depends on the district and where they put him. I'm not sure.
I guess that's the money shot, to use porn parlance.
Right. In the grade school
bus
thing.
A Philadelphia man is behind bars Tuesday evening accused of robbing multiple victims he met on Facebook Marketplace. His case is prompting an urgent warning from law enforcement for anyone who buys and sells online. According to Meta, more than 1 billion people visit Facebook Marketplace around the world every month. The Philadelphia District Attorney's Office says a recent case highlighted the potential dangers. Montez Moore is charged with 11 counts of robbery and theft. Moore was posing as a bank worker who was allegedly in the market for luxury goods on Facebook Marketplace. Investigators say he offered to buy a Louis Vuitton bag as well as a Rolex and Cartier watches before being sold for tens of thousands of dollars. After setting up a meeting point for the transactions, authorities say that he would instead rob them at gunpoint.
That's always a problem, right? Meeting someone. You don't want to do that.
No. Officials have charged Moore in 11 cases involving this kind of scenario. Moore is accused of putting a gun against a seller's back and demanding his backpack that held four Rolex watches that he had expressed interest in buying. He would set up these exchanges outside or even inside of banks where he pretended to work. Buyers assumed, since it was in a public place, that it would be safe. Officials encouraged buyers and sellers to meet at police stations instead. Any police district in the city allows you to do your exchange inside the police station. In 2021, 53% of U.S. secondhand luxury shoppers use Facebook Marketplace. People ages 25 to 35 are the largest demographic group of Facebook Marketplace users.
I don't think people know about that police precinct thing.
Yeah,
that's been active for a while.
Yeah, they do it in Conshohocken as well.
Yeah.
I don't do the marketplace. That's like overall, like basically anywhere. I usually stick to like my local little groups.
Whenever I secure a prostitute, I do it at the police precinct because I know they've been vetted and they're not going to pull a fast one.
Right. But anytime, I mean, I have tried it, and anytime I have, it's always like I don't think I've ever gotten a real inquiry. Like I think they're all scams. They're all it's
for prostitution.
No, for the marketplace.
Oh, I thought we had something we could bond on.
Yeah. So you've never done the marketplace?
I just said, yes, I've done it, but I've never had a real inquiry. They've all been scams.
All been fake. Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of sketchy things about it.
Yeah. I sold my scooter on there, my Vespa. I sold it on Facebook.
To a prostitute?
Yes. I mean, but is it prostitute male? Can it be?
Yes.
Hey, baby.
They've got their own cigarette now.
Yeah. But no, so this guy that I saw, he was an older dude, but not only did he
hit
me up, but then his two daughters hit me up as well.
To make sure you weren't scamming him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything that involves this sort of a transaction, you know, you got to vet the crap out of it. I wouldn't. Yeah, that's why it's not surprising to hear so many of the inquiries you got were fake, Kathy.
Yeah. About 61.8% of users who visit Facebook Marketplace are female. Moore is currently being held on $10.9 million bail. There is also a stay away order for each alleged victim. He was seen on multiple occasions leaving the scene in a black Dodge Charger or a black Mercedes SUV. After a holiday weekend of vandalism, underage drinking, and other infractions of the law, Ocean City Mayor Jay Gillian says he signed off on several orders to send a strong message to teens and their parents that public areas will no longer be open to mass gatherings. The new ordinance includes all beaches in Ocean City will be closed at 8 p.m. Carrying backpacks will not be permitted after 8 p.m. on the beach and the boardwalk. Boardwalk bathrooms will close at 10 p.m. And the curfew for juveniles will move from 1 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Wow. All right, so things got out of hand in Ocean City, right?
Yeah.
And things got out of hand in Wildwood, too.
A little bit.
Yeah. I saw a public urination thing you guys were.
But there was like a big brawl. I read about.
Well, and Wildwood had put their ordinance in place prior to. Though I don't think it was. I don't think it was set until after the weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
So our buddy Chuck, his son's friends were down this weekend, and one of his son's friends caught a fist to the face at some point.
Yeah,
but then their other buddy came in. And he's like a bigger dude, football player. And then he was like, oh, I'm so sorry about that, sir, you know?
No.
And so he walked away. But also, press, I think five kids from Delco got pulled over, and they all had, like, loaded handguns on them.
Whoa.
That was in Wildwood.
Whoa. Listen, this is, you know, if this becomes the norm, it's what they're trying to stem the tide of, which is people will not go down to the shore. They'll lose commerce. This will directly impact.
Yep. Wow.
In ripples, so many more people's lives.
As I was dropping my son and his friends off to an establishment on Friday or Saturday night, I said to those guys, I'm like, here's the deal. Kids are idiots, right? So like 15, 16, 14, 17-year-olds, they're all morons, and they don't know how to like keep
a good thing.
They don't know how to keep a good thing. So when... Like, they're all drinking in the woods. They were drinking at the Little League field. I'm like, they all leave their beer cans there for all the world to see. This is where the kids are drinking. Do you know what I mean? And so as I was dropping them off, I go, you see all these houses? These are all mansion people, right?
Right, yeah.
When they see your trash all over the place, they're not going to stand for this.
No.
So, like, if you want to keep coming back here... Clean your crap up, you know what I mean? Like, don't be idiots, but, like, they don't know.
Or buy your own mansion.
You could do that as well.
We want parents, grandparents, and families to know that we're all in this together, and we will be holding people accountable, Mayor Gillian said. Over Memorial Day weekend, police responded to 999 incidents. In addition to underage drinking, police responded to incidents involving assault, shoplifting, and confiscation of a firearm.
I saw some sort of authority figure. He's wearing a shirt that said Bikini Inspector.
Sure.
And he seemed legit, Preston.
Yeah. Well, they do have patrols that work the boardwalk.
And they're law enforcement, are they not?
Yeah. Yep.
There was another guy who was selling discount tickets for the mustache ride as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to reach out. This is the commercial outreach.
The new beach curfew will apply to people of all ages, as will the evening backpack ban. That wasn't the only problem in Ocean City this past weekend, as beachgoers at the Jersey Shore were enjoying the end of the Memorial Day weekend. A great white shark pinged off the coast of Ocean City Monday morning. The shark's name is Penny. OSHA Reach, a nonprofit marine research group, began tracking Penny just last month off the coast of North Carolina.
Juvenile great white shark carries the same impact as juvenile serial killer.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Oh, that's a young one.
So she's weighing in at 522 pounds, and she's just over 10 feet long.
Yeah.
Penny's Shark
Still
Tracker.
Growing.
Penny's Shark Tracker pinged off of the coast of 16th Street in Ocean City at 6:48 a.m.
Do you know what their version of creatine is? Human bathers.
Yeah.
Well, so I actually was tracking Penny as well. When the girl got bit in Stone Harbor, when she was out surfing, I opened that app because I have it. And so I was looking at what was in the area. And Penny had been up and down, you know, Jersey Shore for a while at this point. And yeah, and then just on Monday pinged right off of 16th.
What's that app? What's the name of the
app? Ocean Reach.
Ocean, okay. I got it.
I read a story that there were four of them off the coast.
Yep. Yeah.
And they were drinking. Yeah. They were screwing around.
Did they leave their cans laying around?
Juvenile great whites are idiots.
Yep.
Ocean Reach tweeted, "Is watching Penny's journey north for the first time." In sports this morning. The Phillies lost to the Mets, getting shut out 2-0 last night in New York. Cody Senga allowed one hit through seven innings, and Francisco Lindor hit a solo home run to lead the Mets to the win. Eduardo Escobar added an RBI single.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
And Mets center, there wasn't a Gary in there. Mets center fielder Brandon Nimmo robbed Nick Castellanos of a potential home run with a leaping catch at the fence. The series continues tonight. Aaron Nola will get the start. First pitch is scheduled for 7:10. The NBA Finals are set to begin tomorrow night as the Denver Nuggets host the eighth-seeded Miami Heat. Tip-off is at 8:30 tomorrow. The Stanley Cup Finals begin on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. The Vegas Golden Knights, who won the Western Conference, will host the eighth-seeded Florida Panthers, who won the East. And the Philadelphia Union, who are unbeaten in their last seven matches with a record of 5-0-2, will host Charlotte FC tonight at Subaru Park. The match begins at 7:30. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We are ready for a few days of enjoyment, this being a Wednesday. Although Kathy and Casey were here yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you guys start Letter of the Day yesterday?
We didn't know what the prize was. They did Love Lines, Preston.
Oh, yeah. What a throwback.
Morning. All right, so we're going to have a lot happening on today's program. We have several guests that are going to be joining us. We're going to talk to Ian Book of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Nice.
Charity event on the way with the Travis Manion Foundation. We'll talk to him at the 7 o'clock hour. Comedian Eleanor Kerrigan is going to be at Punchline and stopping by today. The gig is tonight, by the way. It's an 8 o'clock show. Just one night only, I believe.
Yep.
Right? All right. And then also with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, we actually have a young woman named Leanne Purcell. She received a wish through Make-A-Wish, and we never really talk to kids that go through that and how cool that is.
So we love Make-A-Wish.
I want to find out about that. And Michelle Rule is the Director of Marketing Communications for Make-A-Wish, and we'll chat with them later on today. We also have a secret text word, today being a Wednesday. So if you want your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Andrew Schultz, comedian at Ocean Casino Resort in AC, tickets go on sale tomorrow. By the way, you can text word secret to 39333. We'll have your chance to win tickets that way as well. And we need to announce our coolest teacher. So we announced the school on Friday. And of course, you had the long, long weekend to call in and vote. Or I'm sorry, text in and vote. And we had chosen the Florence Township Memorial High School as the one that would be placing the vote. So they came in. It was a long weekend, and unfortunately, they had a few days off.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we took the votes anyway, and we do have a clear-cut winner. So we would like to congratulate Mr. Travis Breen of Florence Township Memorial High School. And the only thing I know about Mr. Breen is he's a dance teacher, which is awesome. I don't think we have ever had a dance teacher at a high school. In fact, they didn't even have a dance class when I went to high school.
Dance was part of gym. We did square dancing and stuff like that.
But clearly part of the arts because you have music, you know, choir and all the arts, straight up, graphic arts and so on. But dance, that's fantastic. Wow. So, Mr. Breen, congratulations. You've been named the coolest teacher at Florence Township Memorial High School. We're going to set you up with the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug and a $50 gift card from our friends at Five Below who are sponsoring this whole thing. So if you know Mr. Breen, let him know. We'd like to hear from him this morning and chat at some point.
And also Paul Del Prado, who he announced as the coolest teacher from Pencrest on Friday.
Yes, we didn't get to talk to Paul yet. So if you know Mr. Del Prado, We'd like to hear from him as well, Pencrest High School science teacher. We need to draw another school. And is it Steve's turn this time?
I'm in deep right now. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Dive in there, Steve.
The jar. All right.
Who is it going to be?
All right. We are looking at Haverford High School.
Hey! Haverford High School. All right. Very simple, Haverford. You just text the word teacher to 39333. We'll send you the voting link. If you go to school there, that's who we want to hear from. Because it's you that know better than anyone else who has been that teacher that's made a difference this past year. So Haverford High School, spread the word. Let them know that you guys have 24 hours to text the word teacher to 39333. Get the voting link and let us know who should win. So get on that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. We got lots of entertainment stories to share and a stupid question to give some goodies away. We'll be right back.
In MMR's early days, we used carrier pigeons for requests, but some people got mad at us. So now we have the text line at 39333. It's faster, better, and there's less poop. So text us anytime at 39333.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And coming soon to OnlyFans.
I'm kidding.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Hi, I'm Steven Singer. Yep, the I Hate Steven Singer guy. But you know who does love me? Moms on Mother's Day. For all that your mom does, I know she doesn't want the same old last-minute card and flowers that die in a week. The same old dinner at the Pickle Garden. Nope. Get your mom or the mother of your children one of my beautiful 24-carat gold-dip roses in exclusive colors just for her. A real rose dipped in pure 24-carat gold, guaranteed to last a lifetime, just like your mom's love. My gold roses start at just $59. Ship for free in your own signature gift box with your own personalized Mother's Day card. That's free shipping, free lifetime guarantee, free personalized Mother's Day card, and all in exclusive colors that you can only get at IHateStevenSinger.com. Start her bouquet of love today online at IHateStevenSinger.com or in my showroom at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly. IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We are going to give away for the stupid question a pair of tickets as MMR Rocks Brian Adams with special guest Joan Jett and the Blackhearts Wednesday, June 7th at the Wells Fargo Center. And the question that I'll ask, Steve, I'm speaking your language on this one. Barbara Gordon is better known as what heroine? 215-263-WMMR. Call if you know the answer. All right. Barbara Gordon is better known as what heroine? 215-263-WMMR. A lot of interesting birthdays today that we'll mention while we wait for your answer. Today is Wednesday, the 31st day of May. We'll start with actor Tom Berenger, who is 74 today. Everything from Major League to Big Chill to Born on the 4th of July.
I believe it was Tom Berenger we were in the middle of an interview with, and I completely forgot who. Who was it?
No, Forrest, not Forrest Whitaker.
Nope.
The dude from Jackie Brown who did the bail bond.
You probably didn't hear it.
Casey just dropped the F bomb.
Sorry.
No,
just,
under his breath.
No, it was S.
Oh, S.
It was poopies.
All right.
It might have been Berenger. Actually. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking of the F.
I reclaim my time.
Yeah.
He's 74. It's Clint Eastwood's birthday today. And still going strong at 93 and still directing. 93.
And sharp.
Amazing.
He's had not one iota of mental decay.
Good for him. So happy 93rd to the great Clint Eastwood. Everything from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Dirty Harry, and of course everything that he has directed, including Unforgiven, Million Dollar Baby, all these great movies.
I mean, the actors playing those orangutans were amazing.
That he could get them to do that stuff.
It's pretty incredible. Chris Elliott has a birthday as well.
One of my all-time favorites.
Yep. Got started as a bit character on Late Night with David Letterman, and then had some shows of his own that...
Get a life.
That
yes. So two seasons, some of the funniest stuff, especially the second season, which, if it's conceivable, was more deranged than the first season. But that, and as you said, Cabin Boy, and
Something About Mary.
Something About Mary with the blisters on his face. Right. And hilarious.
He's 63.
You ever had a whitehead on your eyeball before?
He is 63 today. Leah Thompson, Back to the Future movies, obviously, huge
kind of
for her.
Rat Pack It Girl, right?
Kinda. She was definitely an it girl in the 80s. And I loved her in Some Kind of Wonderful.
Oh, I love that. I love that they didn't write her off as the standard.
Right.
They gave her more dimension.
Yep. Caroline in the City, she had a TV show for a while, too. She's 62. Colin Farrell, the great Colin Farrell. Minority Report, great in that. The Batman, unbelievable, completely unrecognizable as a penguin.
I don't know how that performance was not nominated. And then he's got the series, the Max series, Penguin.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. When's that coming out?
Fairly soon.
Okay.
Another great movie, Crazy Heart, he was in. He is 47 today. Sharon Gless, who played Detective Chris Cagney on Cagney and Lacey, and then had a turn
she was the hot one.
Queer as Folk as well. She's 80 today.
I remember. She was also in a show called It Takes a Thief with Robert Wagner years ago.
Yeah.
Long career.
Gregory Harrison, Trapper John MD's Dr. Gonzo Gates. And one of my favorite roles of his was in the movie North Shore, which is a guilty pleasure of mine, this movie about surfing.
That's a fun one. He also did a made-for-TV movie about Chippendales.
He's 73 today. It's Joe Namath's birthday.
Oh. I believe everything else has won.
He's drunk. Sucks. He's doing a sideline interview with an attractive reporter, and he is. And this is when he realized he had to give up drinking.
Absolutely.
This was it.
Chad Clay impresses me the same thing impresses them.
What does it mean to you now when the Here team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Oh my God.
I want to kiss you.
Oh my
he
God.
Said when he watched that back, that was like Big Ben ringing in his head, like,
you've
got to do something, dude.
Turned his life around.
Yeah.
And he celebrates his 80th birthday today. It's Brooke Shields' birthday. She recently had a memoir. And
I watched it. It was really good.
The documentary.
Yeah, it was really good.
Wow. Blue Lagoon, Suddenly Susan. She turns 58 today. It is Peter Yarrow's birthday today. Uh-huh. He is one of the singers and the guitarist of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And he is 85.
Thrash metal band.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
A lot of songs like this.
Yes, that's right. Puff Magic Dragon. If I Had a Hammer, remember?
Right.
Yes.
If I had a hammer, I'd knock my bitch up.
And I thought that was the other Pete Seeger.
Beat you with a hammer. It says
it could be.
Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
They did that hammer song?
I think it was a different Pete?
I think If I Had a Hammer is Pete Seeger.
Oh.
I think.
I may be wrong.
Too legit to quit.
Okay. Well, he turns
that's MC Hammer.
85 today.
Yeah, Pete Seeger did If I Had a Hammer.
Oh,
but really? They're all the same.
My.
They all stink.
Apologies. But did he do Sunglasses at Night? Because it's Corey Hart's birthday today.
So. Well, he wrote it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Casey.
All right. Let's
stay with Peter, Paul, and Mary for a moment.
I'm standing here outside your door.
Do-dee-do.
Hate to wake you up. To say goodbye.
This is a great song.
It's a great
Leaving
song.
On a jet plane.
They had us sing this in elementary school.
Oh, I'm sure. So, happy birthday to Peter Yarrow. Yes, Corey Hart. Sunglasses at Night. And let us not forget the great ballad, Never Surrender.
Never Surrender.
I actually like that song
a little
better than Sunglasses at Night.
His phrasing was always interesting.
I wear my sunglasses so I can.
So he turned 61 today. We don't have it?
No, we don't have it.
Never Surrender?
No.
Or Sunglasses at Night?
We
can do it. Let's just do it.
I think we covered it.
This is like Pitch Perfect.
Boo-bee-boo-boo-boo.
Boo-doo-boo. Yep. Like live show right there.
Spot on.
It was like he was in the room.
Better
than Cats.
It's labeled Sunglasses at Night.
Okay.
Not Corey Try Hart.
It. That's it.
Doobie, 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 doobie.
Used to come out to events who would wear sunglasses at night.
Yes.
And I'd say, you drive like that?
Always.
Yeah.
And every once in a rare moment, I will still see him from time to time, and he still has them.
Wears sunglasses all the time.
Last birthday, actor Eric Christian Olsen.
Eric!
He came by our studio years ago at Y100 because he was promoting Dumb and Dumberer, because he played Lloyd.
Yes.
And he was great.
He was great. And also NCIS Los Angeles and a bunch of other movies as well.
He was in that prequel to The Thing and did a pretty good job. Yeah.
He's 46 today. All right. Let's see if we can get an answer to a stupid question. Barbara Gordon is better known as what heroine? 215-263-WMMR. I have no text on my screen here.
Oh, that's
I just
good.
Noticed that. I apologize. I'd like to apologize to Jennifer Garner for this first phone call. Hi, who am I speaking to?
Good morning, it's Travis. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, Travis. Oh, wait, Travis the teacher?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I apologize to Jennifer Garner.
Hang on, Travis. I'm sorry.
Do-over.
We're having an issue, and now we just lost the phone call.
What the hell?
No, he's still on there.
He's there.
All right, Travis. One moment, okay? We're going to come right back to you. I apologize to Jennifer Garner.
We're in a full meltdown here.
Let me go to the...
People are bleeding.
Let me go to this caller. Hi, good morning. Who is this?
Noah!
Noah! All right, Noah. Barbara Gordon is better known as what heroine?
Bat Girl!
Yeah! That is correct. Absolutely correct, sir. And since you got that right, hang on. There we go. We're going to set you up with a pair of tickets. MMR Rocks, Bryan Adams, So Happy It Hurts Tour, very special guest Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Wednesday, June 7th, Wells Fargo Center. Tickets are on sale now via Wells Fargo Center. Philly.com. You can text concerts 39333 for a link to the MMR concert calendar and complete details. Now we're going back to our coolest teacher for a moment. I did not know that was him on the line. He is a dance teacher at Florence Township Memorial High School. Mr. Travis Breen is on the show. Travis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you so much.
So the kids had voted for you as coolest teacher at Florence Township. I'm sorry. Yeah. And so how long have you been teaching there, Travis?
This is my fifth year.
Your fifth year. And are you your dance instructor?
I am. I teach dance. Yep. So I teach dance as an art elective at Florence.
So that's exclusively what. So a lot of times when we would get any sort of dance instruction in school, it would be part of gym. We'd learn, you know. But you're solely dance and only dance.
Yep, solely dance, only dance. You don't want to see me teach jazz.
is that fairly common? Because it sounds uncommon to us.
It's more and more common now. They're starting to bring a lot more arts back into the school. So
that's great.
We also have a theater teacher, dance teacher, music teacher, so I get everything.
All right, so question. Now, can any student that wants to can take dance, right?
Correct. They can take it as an art elective.
I wish I would have done that. I I cannot dance. I wish I knew some basic steps, and you know I don't need to be doing a full production of Swan Lake or anything like that. But I wish I would have been
for agility
on how to dance.
And dancers are always in great shape.
Yeah.
Yep, they do a great job there. So they're amazing students. So,
Do you guys have a big show, a couple of big shows throughout the season?
Yeah, we do our musicals. So I do all the choreography for the musicals also.
Wow. Okay, what was your most recent musical?
We just did Once Upon a Mattress.
Nice. And where did you do your undergrad? I'm just curious because my daughter's looking to go into the arts.
Oh, I went to the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. Uh-huh. I was a BFA major in dance.
Okay, all right. That's no joke.
So you're local? You grew up in the area?
I did. I also own a dance studio in Ewing, New Jersey.
Well, there's your opportunity, Preston.
Yes.
You can finally go.
Ewing's a little too far away from me.
Well, I'm sure maybe. But could you be hired as a private tutor and go to Preston's house?
Of course I would.
They might actually have dance studios in Montgomery County. I'm not sure.
What's the name of the dance studio?
Body Language Dance Center.
All right. Okay.
Travis, would you take a young person like me who had no ability whatsoever and by the end of the semester watch them transform?
Absolutely, I could do
into an alcoholic.
Could it be like Kevin Bacon?
We can have drinks during it. It's not a problem.
Okay. I'm old enough. Yeah, we can do that for sure.
You'd be like Kevin Bacon and Chris Penn in
Footloose. He brings Chris Penn around.
Let's hear it for the boy.
Eventually. Yeah. Wow. Well, excellent. Travis, congratulations to you. It's just a little nod to the great work that you have done. We're going to set you up with the Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, and we're going to give you a $50 gift card to Five Below just as a thank you from your students.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Our pleasure. Have yourself a great summer, okay?
You too. Enjoy it.
All right. Travis Breen.
He's a dish.
Oh, baby. Automatic systematic.
Sing it, man.
Automatic and vodka daddy. All the words that sound like attic.
Right. The girl that was the instructor for the team that I danced on, the salsa team, she was also a dance teacher. That's all she did. She taught dance in the Philly school.
I wish I'd have been more arts stuff when I was, as I said, the one bit of dance I learned was square dancing from my gym teacher.
Maybe this is another topic for another time, but something that you want to do. Like, so you want to do the dance instructor, but there's something that I want to do so terribly, I just don't even know where to get started.
What is it?
All right.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry.
Hold on to it. Hold on to it.
We got to talk about Vanderpump.
It is 6:55, and I have a...
Do you know where your children are?
Very little time, because we have guests coming up, so I've eaten into all this celebrity news. And there's some interesting things, like Benedict Cumberbatch and his family have reportedly endured many sleepless nights after a chef attacked their home.
What? A chef?
Kicking his way through an iron gate and screaming.
Do you know how many packs of wild chefs there are in our nation's cities?
Cumberbatch, his wife Sophie Hunter, and their three young children were all at home when Chef Jack Bissell began his attack. Once on the premises of their London home, the chef spat on the home's intercom before dislodging it with a fish knife.
Wow.
The date of the attack has not been made public. And the Bissell, previously a chef at the 5-star Beaumont Hotel in London's Mayfair section. So, I mean, a really prestigious place.
Was there some sort of encounter with Cumberbatch at
some
point?
We have no idea. He said, I know you've moved here. He's yelling this. I know you've moved here. I hope it burns down. Although he fled the scene, DNA evidence from the intercom allowed police to make the arrest. Prosecutors in the case said that they, before the incident took place, Bissell also stopped to buy 2 packs of pita bread. At that point, he told the shopkeeper that he planned to burn down the movie star's residence.
Wow.
The source said, naturally, all the family were absolutely terrified and thought this guy was going to get in and hurt them. Luckily, it never went that far. Benedict and Sophie have had many sleepless nights since worrying that they may be targeted again.
Looks like this guy's goose has been cooked.
Bissell pleaded...
Oh, I thought you were going to hit that.
Yeah! I don't have it.
Guilty to criminal damage and has received both a restraining order and a $310 fine. That ought to do it.
I'm sorry. It's $300 has made me rethink everything.
He has a prior conviction for theft, 3 warnings for offenses against property, 1 public order offense, and 1 drug offense as well. So he's on a roll.
All right. So if you're a crazed chef and you're going after people like this, what are the 2 kitchen implements you bring with you?
Oh, a cleaver would be
a cleaver, one, right? Definitely. And a rolling pin, I would think.
Maybe so,
right?
It's like a bat,
right?
Well, Flynn Rider used
a frying pan.
Frying pan.
Yeah,
that's true. Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, is suing an auction house over priceless memorabilia from his television career, saying that the items were stolen. According to legal documents, Rubens claims that he loaned a set of props and memorabilia from his show Pee Wee's Playhouse to display items for something called the Museum of Television. And the actor says that the items were to be returned upon his request. But Rubens claims that the museum doesn't exist. And now the stolen memorabilia is being sold. And the list includes things that you would know if you watched the show. Dog chair and Flory puppets and Mr. Window from the set. Shockingly, a lot. The lot includes actual cue cards and signed photographs from the set as well.
Well, that's pretty valuable.
They're saying it's worth $1 million all
time. Yeah. Wow. So there is, for example, the Smithsonian has, you know, a pop culture.
Yeah.
Where Fonzie's jacket is and Archie Bunker's chair and all that stuff.
Well, and the National Radio Hall of Fame, yes, where we are now enshrined there, they have a big television display too.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. They did a tribute to, what was it?
Was it Howdy Doody was there?
No, it was actually a tribute to live horror, local horror shows.
Like Zachary Lee and
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are places that house this type of thing.
Huh. I would love to have some sort of memorabilia from either Pee-wee's Playhouse or Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I loved...
What would you get?
Would
you get the bike?
I think the bike is too much.
That's the money shop.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny when you said the dog chair. I'm like, I don't remember the dog chair, but Cherry, I remember.
Cherry was the main character.
I would take Cherry.
At this point, Pee-wee's lawyers say the company called the Commissar Collection is nonsensically, outrageously claiming that the items were somehow gifted to them and have refused to return the items to Mr. Rubens despite his repeated requests, adding that if their theft of Mr. Rubens' property was not enough, they have recently put many of the stolen items up for auction without his consent, lining their pockets from the proceeds of the unlawful sales. Unfortunately, Rubens says a few of the items have already been sold to private collectors.
That sucks.
A lawsuit filed in Los Angeles County to recover whatever stolen items are still in their possession, but an immediate stop to any further unlawful sales and recovery of the value or whatever stolen items have already been sold.
Let this serve as a warning to you, Nick. Never give that Doc Gooden card up to
I saw somebody
museums.
Selling their Doc Gooden rookie card over the weekend.
How much?
They tagged me on Instagram, which was really nice of them. $10
Wow. I can't believe it's not worth...
Well, his wasn't signed, so mine is.
I think yours would be worth substantially more than.
Probably 12 or 13 bucks.
The list includes the Playhouse catwalk clock, Miss Yvonne barbell prop, velvet skates, and assorted props from the food in the Playhouse refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that Miss Yvonne is Charlie Day's mom in Always Sunny.
So, by the way, this guy, James Commissar, who's the owner of this collection, said that I'm sad to learn that Mr. Rubens has resorted to the threat of a lawsuit to improperly seek the return of the items he simply does not own. In addition to those items personally given to me by Mr. Rubens in lieu of sending them to the landfill, without conditions or promises, Mr. Rubens seeks the return of the material that was the property of the film studios, production companies, and individual creators, none of which he is entitled to.
He shouldn't fool around. Because Commissar's in town.
Right.
Oh.
Zsa Zsa.
Oh.
So, all is clock there, Commissar. All right, so Sarah Snook's little one has arrived, the Succession star.
Was she actually pregnant on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Was she on the show?
I didn't know that.
Well, on the
Sorry, Preston, you're behind.
Yeah,
but
I am behind. Spoiler season. Alert, her character gets pregnant. But I thought she was getting a little bit...
Portly?
Bumpy? That's not fair to say.
You said off air you thought she was getting fat.
I thought she was getting fat. No, her face was getting rounder.
Yeah, right.
And then by the last episode, she was definitely showing.
Are you pregnant or just chunking up?
I wonder if they had to write that in because she got pregnant in real life.
They didn't.
And they made it part of the storyline? Okay.
It's easier than having them stand behind counters all the time and...
Yeah. Which, you remember Julia Louis-Dreyfus would do that on Seinfeld for a few seasons? And it was... Really obvious.
Right.
So I'm only in the... I'm near the end of the second season.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, I'm loving the show. It's phenomenal. So this is her first baby with Dave Lawson, her husband. The Aussie actress revealed the happy news via Instagram on Monday, sharing a picture of herself holding the newborn while getting ready to watch the show's season finale. She wrote, "It's hard to express what this show has meant to me, the places I got to go, the immense talent I got to work with. It breaks my heart that it's all over."
That's an Adam McKay series.
But she's very happy to be a new mom. Yeah, and it's definitely brilliant. So speaking of baby news, Al Pacino and his girlfriend, Noor Al-Fala, are expecting a child.
On.
He is 83.
This makes De Niro look legit.
He's 83 years old.
Don't worry, I'll pull out.
How old was Larry King when he had his kid?
It's a good question.
All we know is that we were
late 70s.
We were sitting next to a skeleton on a dais, which was Larry King, and he had to go leave to attend his kid's T-ball game.
T-ball game. So Al Pacino's older. He's in his 80s.
83. 83 years old.
Come
I know.
On.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, so when his kid is 10, he'll be 93.
So to give that some perspective, so my dad is 85 or about to turn 85. Yeah. My kids are adults. His grandkids are adults. And this is now a new child that an 83-year-old is going to be having. So in 2014, by the way, he has a 33-year-old daughter, Julie Marie, with ex-girlfriend Jan Turrent, as well as 22-year-old twins that he had with his ex, Beverly D'Angelo.
Jan, f***ing army, you're going to pay me!
In 2014, he spoke to the New Yorker about what it's like being a father, and said that having children has helped with the missing link he's felt since his father left him and his mother when he was a toddler.
Huh.
He said, I consciously knew that I didn't want to be like my dad. I wanted to be there. I wanted to have three children. Art said, I have three children. I'm responsible to them. I am part of their life. When I am not, it's upsetting to me and to them. So that's the part of the gestalt.
Well, that's cool. So, you know, and at a certain point in a kid's life where you'd probably take him out and throw him, teach him how to throw a ball,
I mean,
you'll be able to teach him how to spoon pudding into your mouth.
God. Honestly, they're going to be wheeling him around in a wheelchair.
Steve, he still has a place where the children come and play with their toys.
Where the children play with their toys.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this month, Steve was saying his godfather to...
In my home! In my bedroom where my wife sleeps! Where my children come and play with their toys.
Play with their toys.
Earlier this month, Godfather
2... I'm 100!
Ghost Story.
I'm gonna be a father!
Robert De Niro revealed that he recently... welcomed his seventh child at 79 years old.
Oh, this is girl... your uncle. Oh, no!
This girl's a star effer.
Yes, she is.
Oh, is she?
She has a couple people.
Clint Eastwood, Mick Jagger, Al Pacino. Oh,
Pee-wee.
Old...
How old is she?
And she's in her 20s.
Yeah, she looks...
29, I think. 28, 29.
Wait. She's one... babies from all of them?
No. Oh. She's a star effer, I said.
And she's going to have a she's going to have Al Pacino's baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. That's right. Whoa.
Now, I heard what you said. I just wasn't sure if she was having babies with all these guys.
No. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but she is younger. She's attractive. I think she's... I'm going to say it.
On.
I think she's a dancer.
Oh, my God.
I thought she was a singer.
I mean, like, and she's...
No, she was a dancer.
Thanks, Stop.
Wow.
She's pretty. She could date younger rich people.
But she's going you know why? These guys aren't going to be around
for longer. Yeah. There's more in the
She's
estate.
Playing the long game.
That's it, yeah.
All right.
No, she's playing the short game.
Well, she's playing the short game to play the long game. Yeah. So she can
Did I hear you cough, sweetie?
She'll have the money.
I don't feel right.
When they're gone, and then she gets the long game after that.
Wow. Clint Eastwood is 93 years old.
Yep.
I don't know when she dated him, but come on.
I think we said this like years ago when Billy Joel was dating a girl who was way younger than him. We all realized they don't care.
They don't care.
They don't Preston. Care. At this point, they've gotten this far in life. They're just going to, they
but
know.
That girl
not...
was younger than his daughter at the time.
I know.
Time.
It's insane.
Like, how could you not? Is sex enjoyable? Is it?
Well, here's the deal. Yeah. I don't think.
Really? For her?
No, for him.
Oh, she's got to love it. Oh, my God. This feels like gravy.
Oh, my God. It's so terrible. It's gross.
Oh, my God.
It's like humping challah bread.
Like, what the hell? I don't understand this.
All right. Couple other
How
quick,
does that feel?
Couple other quick things.
And Are then, we having sex?
Was that good?
Am I in?
Can I get a straight answer?
Can't you give me a straight answer anymore?
Am I in? That's all I want to know. I've got no feeling.
Can't you give me a straight answer anymore?
Oh, my God.
Did I orgasm? Look for something.
We need more Pacino clips, too.
Oh, do we have so many?
Do we?
I need to relabel these, because I don't know what he says here, but...
Okay. No, yes, without my orders, yes!
I don't even know what that is.
Nah.
All right. Put up City Hall. What's that one?
Hang on. City Hall. I'm going to go City Hall edit.
Right,
and
there we go.
I will not go down that way!
Okay. I like that.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing!
Wait a minute. Yes, the City Hall is perfect. Yeah. Is him refusing to do a certain act.
I will not go down that way.
Oh, my God.
The last time I did it, my dentures got caught in the pubes. It was embarrassing. When I pulled back, my mouth was still there, smiling at me.
Thank God they were just partials.
Yeah.
You don't forget something like that. I will not go down that way. Down there.
It's Kathy's. I think Kathy's proper disgust at the notion of an 82-year.
Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
I will not go down that way.
That's right. It stinks.
Even Stallone is
like, I like it. It smells like a kitty litter box.
Oh. All right. So he's a dad.
Wow.
Gonna be a dad. Or yeah.
Well, he is a dad.
Keep us updated.
By the way, clearly one of our it would be so fantastic. I don't know if he'd do it now, but to get Pacino on, you know, as an interview.
One of the greatest actors ever.
Oh, my God. He's so good.
All right. Two other quick things. Speaking of the greatest actors ever, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Fubar replaced Queen Charlotte in the number one spot on Netflix's English TV list from May 22nd to the 28th.
Are you watching it, Steve?
I'm watching it.
I'm knocking off a whole bunch of shows right now and getting through it. It is in my list. I want to see it. I hear it's very good.
It's fun.
And it's now off my list.
Some of it.
Because it has to be really good these days.
Some of it's a little cheese, but I'm hanging on because Rochelle likes it, so.
All right. Well, tell me, let you finish it off, and then you tell me what you think. Because honestly, in this day and age, it's got to be great. Because there's so much out there. I won't go in. We talked about the series Preston, the docuseries about the, the movie Orphan is based on, the little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I need to see
two episodes in. It's amazing.
All right, and the last story, Andy Muschietti, the director of The Flash, appeared on a recent episode of the Discourse podcast and said that he would not consider replacing Ezra Miller in a sequel, despite the abuse allegations made against the actor in recent years. I said, I don't think that there's anyone that can play that character as well as they did. The other depictions of the character are great, but this particular version of this of the character, they just excelled in doing. And as you said, he said the two Barrys, it feels like a character that was made for them.
So here's the deal. It's all going to depend on what the movie company wants to do.
Oh,
so
sure.
So he can say that, but movie company can say, no, too much of a liability because they're going to be the ones that are going to put up the money. I was very happy to hear, though, that Andy Muschietti is probably the guy they're going to go to do the Batman film under James Gunn's DC Universe.
Awesome. All right. God, we got to get the clips.
Come on.
Man, sorry.
Yeah. Come on. Over here. What happened? Did you feel anything? Did I have a good time? Why are my teeth on your bush?
Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
What?
Has been serving the hottest drama in Beverly Hills this season. And here, Katie Maloney.
Yes, of course.
Her co-star, Tom Sandoval. Here we go.
He's always willing to throw someone else under the bus or go to the most easy scapegoat person, you know, to just deflect. He's a master deflector.
Shut the fuck up!
Master deflector.
The Vanderpump Rules reunion airs tonight, 9 o'clock. That's on Bravo, by the way. So
Bravo, which used to be about the arts.
Yes, it did.
Bravo was going to be where the snooty people went to watch opera recaps.
That's a good point.
You can do what I did and start at the very, very beginning, season one, episode one on Peacock.
And you love it, don't you?
I hate myself. Not only do I hate the show, but I hate myself that much more for watching it. But there's a character on the show in the first season that I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Apparently, she fades out after the second season.
So. By the way, after Keenan's, we went out to lunch, and Tyrone from our sister station, The Fanatic, was totally given the rundown to Casey on all things Vanderpump.
So he's a big fan?
Oh, he's way into it.
He's not a big fan, but he watches it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can watch it and like these people.
Right.
Lisa Vanderpump actually seems like a lovely woman.
I used to watch Pooch Perfect, and she was a judge.
Yeah, so apparently she rescues animals, and so her and her husband seem like they're pretty decent, but everybody else is pretty reprehensible.
Scumbags?
And, I don't like having opinions like that on people that I don't really know. And I don't like hating people. So watching this show, I'm like, I don't know how people can get into
this. Would shallow be the right way to describe?
You mean like
that song from that movie?
No, that's Shiloh.
Oh. All right, next clip. Here we go. Tim Robinson returns with a variety of skits to make people cringe in I Think You Should Leave. Steve loves this show.
God, yeah.
And in this clip, he talks about his experience on Saturday Night Live.
It was a place where at first I really struggled when I was a cast member, and I had a hard time, and I was trying to figure everything out. But then when I became a writer, I feel like I really felt comfortable, and to every week have that show to like challenge yourself and push yourself to try and make a room full of people who have seen every comedy move on the planet laugh was so fun for me.
Yeah!
Third season of I Think You Should Leave is available now on Netflix. And that is the last story I have for you in the Entertainment Report. We need to take a break because we got a guest right away. So we're going to come back in a second, and we're going to get Ian Book from your Philadelphia Eagles on the program. Nice. Talking about an event that's on the way. A reminder, Haverford High School, you have been chosen to tell us who the coolest teacher of the year is. So text the word teacher to 39333 for the voting link. We'll be back in just a moment.
After a long break, one of our favorite musical features returns. Pierre Robert hosts an intimate conversation and musical performance as WMMR presents an MM Archive Session starring the Revivalists. Tune in Friday at 2 p.m. for what promises to be an outstanding session. The first event in our brand new performance studio with MMR favorites, the Revivalists. Sponsored by Concord Music, C3 Management, and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Our next guest is ready to go. He's been hosting an event tomorrow night. Travis Manion Foundation. We've had people on for years.
Like wonderful.
Travis Manion Foundation. It is tomorrow night at Ladder 15. It's a celebrity happy hour. Lots of Philadelphia Eagles are going to be there. And he is, what's awesome is not only plays for the Eagles, but if I'm reading this correctly, the winningest quarterback in Notre Dame history.
Wow.
And his alma mater, they just won the championship in lacrosse at the Link over the weekend.
Terrific.
Please welcome Ian Book to the show. Yo, Ian, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely, man. So congratulations to, you know, your alma mater, Notre Dame, winning the... Did you go to the event? Were you in town for that?
Yes, I went. So I went to the first one when they beat Virginia. And then I watched the actual championship at home. But the first one was electric. It was awesome to see Notre Dame. I'm a big lacrosse fan myself. Played in high school. So it was a really cool event.
No kidding. So what other sports? Usually... somebody who's playing lacrosse and football maybe plays a couple other sports as well. Were you just all about all different sports?
I was really, really, really big into basketball. And then as I got into high school, started playing. It was really that time where you had to pick lacrosse or baseball. So stopped playing baseball, started playing lacrosse and football, and just stuck with those two throughout high school.
Nice. It served you well, obviously.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to think if I've actually seen you play at Notre Dame. I went to Notre Dame with my wife years and years ago, and it was a Notre Dame-Navy game. I got to tell you, just going to that stadium as a fan was just incredible. I mean, it's a storied history. Like, what was it like for you walking, you know, through the tunnel that Rudy ran through?
Yeah.
You know?
Rudy!
Yeah. I mean, can you talk about that experience?
Yeah, Notre Dame's a special place. I really, really enjoyed my time there. I think some people might get annoyed when we talk about how special it is, but when you love Notre Dame and you go there, it really is different. So I hope you enjoyed your experience when you went to that game. You can just feel the buzz when you get on campus. It really is like a special feeling. It sounds a little cliche, but I love my time there. And just being a part of that, the student body there, going to class, and just everything about that football program, nothing else matters there but winning football games.
Right.
Which is
it is true though about the backlash that it's just natural. Yeah. That people just recoil, and you'll see it immediately. Sometimes you'll mention people. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I assume that toughens you up in life, right? That gets you used to adversity.
There's no question. A lot of people always joke that Notre Dame quarterback might be one of the hardest spots in the country because you got to win every single game. That's what it's about. And that's what you want, though, when you pick a school. You want to win a national championship. You want to go to a school that cares about winning. And like you said, from my experience, people either are obsessed and love Notre Dame or they hate us.
You know,
so it's okay.
There's no middle.
I'm one of the ones that hates you, and not you, obviously, but your alma mater. They're really fun to root against. They're a fun team to hate.
Yes.
And it's an interesting conundrum for me because I loathe Notre Dame and I love the Eagles. So, like, you know, and you haven't changed. You're the same damn person. You just put on a different shirt, you know? So, like, all of a sudden now I'm supposed to like you, but 6 years ago I would have absolutely not been able to stand you at all. It's really fairly ridiculous when you think about it.
It's okay. It's fair.
Well, the Travis Manion Foundation, it's a veteran services organization. You have a direct connection to that via your brother, correct?
Correct. Brother, dad, cousin, you know, there's a lot of people in my family that, you know, have served for our country. So it means a lot to me.
And is your brother on track to be a Green Beret?
He is. He's currently in North Carolina finishing up his training. And he's currently in a dark period, so he doesn't have his phone. So it's a good thing if we don't hear from him, because that means he's still on track. And
all right.
We're excited to go to the graduation here. I think it's in July. So okay. He's doing great.
Green Beret is obviously they're an elite group. Obviously you've trained a physical regimen all your life as well. Do you think you could fare well in the Green Beret training regimen?
I would like to say I think I might be able to do it, but after being able to talk to my brother just a little bit, it is a whole nother level. I have a lot of respect for those guys. I always feel like, you know, I know what it's like to push your body, push your mind in football. It's like, this is a sport. These guys are doing life or death stuff. And it's a whole nother level. And my respect for them is off the charts. And just from hearing, my brother can't even tell me everything, you know, it's top secret, whatever you want to call it. But from what I've heard, it is a different level, and it's more mental than it is anything. So I'm very proud of him, and I hope it all goes well. And, you know, I'm very excited to go to that graduation.
Ian, what have you? You're fairly new to Philadelphia. What are you finding out about the town? Maybe over the past few months or this summer, if you're going to be spending time in town, what are you enjoying about it so far?
Yeah, I love Philly. I'd say first, kind of what we talked about with Notre Dame. The fans here, they're great. They love the Eagles. They're just a passionate fan base. It's just next level. I feel like at the games and in town. Go Birds, maybe like every 5 seconds, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's a special place. It's definitely great to have a fan base like that. It could be a lot worse. Yeah. So this has been great. Other than that, I love going to the city. This city is a big food city.
That's Oh yeah.
So I've been trying as many places as I can, talking with guys on the team about what they like. And we really enjoy having family and friends come to games and take them around the city, showing them everything. It's a city with a lot of history, taking them to all our favorite places to eat, and then just having a great weekend with getting a win for the Birds.
Nice. All right. I like all that. Now, listen, about the event that's going on tomorrow, by the way, who else is going to be joining you? A few members of the team, I would assume.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a couple guys out there, a couple tight ends, Tyree Jackson, Grant Calcaterra, Jack Stoll. Going to get a few linemen out there. I'll be there. Cam Jurgens will be there. And I bet you I'll be able to get a few more guys today as I'm in the locker room talking. So it's going to be awesome, though. Excited to just get in the community and really just, you know, converse with people, talk, hang out.
You going to be mixing any drinks or anything like that, getting behind the bar?
That's the goal. I'll be back. I'm not sure I'm any good, but I'm going to be back there with the bartender getting some direction. But right. Just want to be there hanging out with everyone and raising money for a really great cause. Well,
it's usually great getting the celebrity bartender because they go a little heavy on the...
Yeah, they don't care. They don't know what they're doing. It's not up there, top end.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, it's easy to get tickets. You can just go to travismannion.org, and tickets include event entry, happy hour pricing, a raffle ticket, because, you know, these events always have great raffle items. I'm sure there's going to be loads of stuff from the Birds to win as well, which is cool. So we'll send people, we'll get the word out, Ian, and make sure that you guys have a good crowd tonight. We wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully we'll talk to you sometime soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
Our pleasure. Ian Book, guys. Your Eagles. He will be there tomorrow night. And it is, what time does this start? You know what?
5:30 p.m. it starts.
Ah, okay. So it did say happy hour. All right. TravisMannion.org if you want to get the information.
Just a programming note I want to bring up. So we had given you the wrong price sheet for what today's secret text word is.
Oh.
So the price sheet does not match what we're actually giving away. So if you want to read over there where the pink star is at the bottom of the page, that is what we are giving away today for secret text word.
Okay. Oh, we're giving away tickets to see Kevin James.
Woo-hoo!
The Irregardless Tour, which is not really a proper term. Friday, June 16th at the Academy of Music. So that's what we're giving away. Tickets available at KimmelCulturalCampus.org. So text the word secret to 39333. And we'll see if you win. We're going to send you that word. Later on, we'll find out if you win.
Yeah, hearing about him and his brother, Preston, I was wondering if some 82-year-old Al Pacino sperm could create Green Beret and a quarterback.
God, who knows, man. Well, listen, we have a couple of minutes to chat before we have to move along. We have a few more guests that are going to be joining us this morning. But I don't know if you know this, but the last time that we were all together was when we were in Wildwood at Kenan's. And we have yet to discuss with even each other.
Yes.
What went on, because we all kind of went our separate ways into the holiday weekend and just kind of decompressed and did whatever it is we were going to do afterwards. But, man, we have to tell you, for those who weren't there in person, that place was probably the most electric I've ever felt it, ever.
Yeah, I can't argue that. We were all looking at each other like,
yeah,
okay, this is a new level.
Yeah, this is next level.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Weren't we all at, like, I don't know, my mindset going into Kenan's is like, okay, what is going to go wrong and when? And none of that happened on Friday.
No, yeah. No, we had, there was a ton of pre-planning. A lot of you guys did a tremendous amount of legwork. And, you know, of course, Marissa was like, you know, the Flash running around getting everything done.
Oh, God, yes.
But, you know, from everybody, Case, from your fastidiousness with the schedule and all that stuff and acquiring all that stuff, it played out. And you actually predicted you would yell at one point. You pre-apologized to Casey. That never happened.
No, until the final break, I got mad and that was it. Yeah. But I apologize for that now. But
I mean, you did get mad at that woman, remember?
Well,
dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, let me share what happened there. This is at the baptism of beer.
Yeah.
And I'm at the very corner of the bar, and I'm about ready to step up onto the bar, and she turns to me and with a very mean delivery goes, "Don't knock my effing beer over." And I was just like, it just kind of took me aback.
Yeah, you're like, what?
And I was like, what? And then she said it again. I thought she was kind of being playful, but she was like being really rude to me in just her delivery. So I got up onto the bar, and I'm like, this woman just said something rude to me. And she looks up, and I had my headphones on at that point, and I couldn't, and she was yapping at me again, and I couldn't tell what she was saying. So I just took the picture, and I'm like, screw you, bitch, and I just threw it right in her face.
Yeah, I think you did call her a bitch.
Yeah.
But that's a term of endearment out in Wildwood.
Right. Yeah.
For that day, of course it is. But no, it was, listen, everything went so wonderfully smooth. I was so happy with all of it. It was a great time.
Yeah, I think
so much fun.
Our engineering and Rodney, they did a great job of monitoring that room so that the entire room could hear us. So, like, yeah. You know, like we've said, like, you know, oh, we lost the room, you know, like 9:30, something like that, like because people in the back are
can't hear
or anything like that. But like they were engaged the entire time.
Yeah. When the din of that crowd hits full force, you can like I remember in years past us being on the mic and like they don't care. They're gone. Uh-huh. But everybody was with us the whole time, even when we needed to take that absolute sardine crammed in condition that we were in. And part the middle.
They did it.
For an alleyway to do a contest. They did it, and I was blown away by that.
I'll tell you what what kind of rocked my world was, and I thought it'd be like a knockoff part of the show, Seagull.
Dude, Seagull. Same thing. I was telling Casey, we had lunch afterwards, I'm like, the one thing that had the least amount of moving parts as far as contest and wrangling the crowd goes was one of the most well-received moments of the entire morning. It was so easy.
It was so good.
It was awesome.
There's people doing their seagull impressions, and then little did we know, the Michael Jordan of seagull impressions would be the first contestant.
Yeah.
Joan.
Yeah.
She was so... People were commenting to me all weekend. They were like, dude, nobody could beat Joan. Like, she'll never be... Like, she was the best.
Yeah. And she happened to be our first contestant out.
Everyone was good, but I mean, that was... other level.
You know absolutely. What? So the reason I thought she had it was because the at the end, like how she separated the, like it was exactly, it sounded exactly like a seagull.
Yeah. Yeah. I was blown away by that. That has to become an annual thing if the interest is there, because that was so much fun. And my God, she was so loud. So loud. I had to step away and take my headphones off.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just nailed it. all the contests went wonderful. The tribute to the Little Mermaid was unbelievable. There was a moment, and if you missed it, we have all the pictures, the video, the stream, all that stuff is up if you want to see that, and I highly recommend you do it. And by the way, Marissa, the photo gallery is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Marissa, our photographer... Got some amazing picks. That was
Bill Kane, yes. William Thomas Kane, Kane Images. He's been shooting WMMR events for like 35 years, way back in the day. He said this one was the most interesting he's ever been to.
So when we were doing the Little Mermaid, our female contestant, and I apologize because I don't remember everyone's names that were in all those contests, but we had them picking up, you know, real seafood, uncooked seafood with their mouths while dressed like mermaids and taking them from one end of the bar to the other.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, the gal, she comes back with the squid. And by the way, the squid were like almost 2 feet long. They were huge. And
a dead friggin' squid.
Instead of picking it up by, you know, the head, the hood part of it, she had went in full. She had all those tentacles in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
And as she comes, I almost puked looking at her. But they did it, man. They knocked it out of the park.
And the guy, our male Ariel, he drops the food on the floor and he's good. No. He's going to stick to the rules. He picks it up off the floor with his mouth.
Yeah.
And it looked like he had a bloody nose at the end of it because he had fish guts all over his nose. His nose was fine, but he had fish blood on his nose.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jeez. And the funny thing is before that, I know Marissa and everybody's running around. Make sure they do not have seafood allergies.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was very, very adamant about that. In the very first contest we did, which is one we do every year, which is a crowd surfing thing. The Bill Weston tribute.
Oh, my God.
They looked amazing. The outfits, we put them in leather jacket, white wig, the helmet, the cigar, all of that. And Greg Monahan had made up large printouts of actual, I think it's Bill's actual motorcycle.
Yeah.
And the way they looked sitting in that looked like they were actually riding on the motorcycle.
And it was a little story about how Bill assembled the team here, you know, when bringing us over to WMMR.
Yep.
And it played out. And I love that our contestants were actually fake throttling the motorcycle.
Yeah. They had their hands on the throttle and picking up the giant cardboard cutouts of our faces. It was just a blast all the way around. And I went up afterwards when we were done to take a peek into the patio.
Oh, my God.
I went up on the roof, and it was, Casey, you were right. Like, you couldn't move in there. It was that packed.
I tried to walk through there. There were a couple of roadblocks that I got into. I was like, this is nuts.
What's so funny is later that day, Preston, or was he, I don't know when exactly it was. It might have been Saturday, but I'm watching a clip on the TV. The TV's on, and I see this massive line. And, look at that. What's that? And Claire goes, that's your event.
Oh, yeah. My God.
My wife says she knew it. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, so they were telling me that the line went around the block and down and went all the way down to Central. The street.
Wow.
That's a couple of blocks.
Oh,
easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it went all the way down to there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a long ass way. So, and that was before the doors opened. So it was just
But it didn't phenomenal. End with the broadcast for you. You returned the following night.
The next night. So, well, before that, though, real quick, I want to give some love to Surf and Pig, this great restaurant in North Wildwood, right on the bay.
Yes.
A bunch of us went over there and had lunch afterwards, and they reserved a table for us.
Awesome.
We had a great meal. And actually, they told us about this wild little thing that they do on their Instagram account, which is with this treasure hunt throughout Wildwood. And was I right? They have like $10,000?
No, $15,000.
$15,000 is a key hidden somewhere. And if you can find it, you win $15,000.
Somewhere in
Wildwood?
The way it works is actually it's a $5,000 prize. But if nobody finds it this month, then that $5,000 will get put into next month. And then if nobody finds it, then that. So it could be by August could be like $15,000. But there are like three different $5,000 prizes. She's telling me this. I'm like, wait. What? You're giving $5,000 and $15,000 in cash? Like, yeah. So if you go follow them on the gram, Surfing Pig on Instagram, you
it's
can find
the
out all
the gist. Surfing Pig. That's the handle.
It was my first time there. It's a really nice spot. And it was right on the water like that and all open air. And, man, the food was fantastic. It was cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
We were getting ready to leave when you showed up. And I'm like, all right, I guess we'll just wait.
I made them. And thanks to Icona, because we stayed there on Thursday night. And Eustace and the entire crew, where Brent had his broadcast on Friday afternoon. But I made the mistake of not checking out before the show. So I had to go all the way back down to Diamond Beach, get my stuff, and then come back and meet you guys. And it just took a while.
I ended up, Casey and I ended up meeting up there later on. We went to Brent's broadcast. And it was great.
Nice.
So last year... Last year it rained. It was terrible. Jackson was broadcasting and nobody was there because the it was just cold and nobody wanted to be outside. Totally different this year.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome.
It was gorgeous. Nice crowd there.
It's such a cool spot.
There was a live band and Brent was in his heyday and we were having orange crushes and just loving it. It was a fantastic day. So that was awesome, and it was good to hang out with Brent, because Brent came to our broadcast as well. He was there in the morning, too.
I was a little jealous of your orange crush, not because it just looked yummy, right? I don't miss alcohol at all, but, like, just that it looked great. So I actually invented my own non-alcoholic drink later on that night. It's just two ingredients. But if anybody doesn't drink and wants to have something that resembles a cocktail, but it's not a mocktail, try a Red Bull and orange juice. Okay. Two parts orange juice to one part Red Bull. It's actually really delicious.
All right. Yeah. Very good. And then, yeah, Steve, so the next night, Saturday, Kyle's band, the FM band, was playing at Keenan's. So I ventured back into the jaws of the dragon, and it was packed.
Yeah,
no doubt.
And so I went and sat in and played a couple of songs with the FM band. Now, this is my first time seeing those guys live. I've seen Kyle play or sing with our groups at Camp Out for Hunger and some other events, and know what a great singer he is, and he's amazing. But the three female singers in that band are unbelievable as well. And, like, Kyle came to me, he's like, yeah, it's kind of wild being, like, the least best singer in the band. Well, I said, you don't go that far.
Yeah.
But the three gals that sing in that band are incredible. And I got up and I played Brick House.
Ah, nice.
And then that was kind of the filler song, because it's a pretty standard, easy one. But the fun one was I played All Night Long from Lionel Richie.
Hey!
Yeah. And closed the set with him.
That has a bit of a rhythm to it.
Yeah, and an interesting little drum part, too. But it was really fun to play with those guys. They're an 11-piece badass party band. And they're one of those that can play, like, you know, they've got these medleys of, like, you know, six songs that you just dance the entire time.
Love it.
And they were great. So it was an honor to play with those guys.
And they play down there all the time. So
yeah, they do. Find them. They got a couple more gigs for sure this summer. And thank you to Roderick, who's the drummer of the band, who let me sit in. And we had a great time. And there were tons of people that had either been at Keenan's on Friday.
Right, yeah.
Or were just fans of the show that were constantly coming up throughout the night. And it was awesome. So if you ever want to see a great band and go dance your ass off, check out where the FM band is playing, because they're fantastic.
So cool.
So the photo gallery, if you want to get an idea of what it was like up close and personal, that's available at WMMR.com. And you're going to love it. And hopefully you can make it there next year. I don't want to think about next year right now for a little while.
Yeah.
But it was, we pulled it off. Nobody got hurt.
Nope.
Everything came off flawlessly. We gave away a bunch of great prizes. Thank you to Steak 'Em Up again for all. And also our friends at Shift. For
Shift
the table.
Outdoors, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shift Outdoors for the table and chair. We met, I think Ray was his name.
Mm-hmm.
Super nice guy.
Yeah, they were really cool.
Yeah, so all in all, I think it's one of the best ones we've ever had. Other than the time when we had the new kids on the block there.
Yeah.
It was one of the best times ever. Yeah, so
easily.
Thanks to everybody.
And so, Steve, I know that you got back here, and Nick as well, right afterwards. But, you know, we thought weather-wise, it was going to be in the 60s and a little overcast all weekend down the shore. It was not that.
What did I
say? It was like 70 degrees and sunny with a nice breeze all weekend long.
And I was saying that. As we say, partly cloudy means partly sunny.
Yeah.
And
mostly sunny.
Mostly sunny, damn it. And I knew it would be a good weekend.
So it was great. Thank you to all who were there. And if you saw the 25th anniversary shirts that were on display there, they are now available at the MMR Rock Shop.
Nice. People were asking. Yeah.
So if you want to get the 25th anniversary Preston and Steve Show shirts, you can go to the MMR Rock Shop. We have to take a break because we're going live on Fox Good Day, so we're going to do it. But thank you to everybody who is a part of Keenan's this year. And if not, we'll see you next year. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Your smart speaker can settle arguments, tell you the weather, and even order stuff. But did you know it can also stream WMMR? Ask it to open MMR, and it'll begrudgingly comply.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And coming soon to OnlyFans.
I'm kidding.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Hi, I'm Steven Singer. Yep, the I Hate Steven Singer guy. But you know who does love me? Moms on Mother's Day. For all that your mom does, I know she doesn't want the same old last-minute card and flowers that die in a week. The same old dinner at the Pickle Garden. Nope. Get your mom or the mother of your children one of my beautiful 24-carat gold-dip roses in exclusive colors just for her. A real rose dipped in pure 24-carat gold, guaranteed to last a lifetime, just like your mom's love. My gold roses start at just $59. Ship for free in your own signature gift box with your own personalized Mother's Day card. That's free shipping, free lifetime guarantee, free personalized Mother's Day card, and all in exclusive colors that you can only get at IHateStevenSinger.com. Start her bouquet of love today online at IHateStevenSinger.com or in my showroom at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly. IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going right to Fox 29. So let's do another. That.
This survey says that there's this moving company called Any Van. It says one in five couples actually break up during a move. There's nothing more stressful. Well, it's one of the top things that causes stress is moving apartments or homes. Would you agree, Preston?
I would agree 100%. I don't ever want to do it again. I don't ever want to do it again. I know at some point I will have to do it, but yeah, it can be very, very bad.
Now, why do you think you will eventually have to move, Preston?
Eviction.
Could you not live in the house now the rest of your life?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just know it'll happen.
Well, you're a vagabond at heart, and you have that group of gypsies that you travel with. So
we need to make it around the country. No, but listen, we had a really bad experience during a move. The moving company tried to hold our furniture hostage. And we ended up being part of a class action lawsuit against this particular moving company. God. It was terrible. And my wife was pregnant, and they were not going to deliver our furniture to our new locale. And they wanted to charge us extra. It was a real nightmare.
Unless you paid up.
Royal pain, man.
No, they didn't pay. They didn't pay up. They were able to beat it. So
you beat it.
They beat it good. But yeah, they won.
But listen, one of the things I think that can cause an argument, or at least would in my case, is when you're gathering things to move them, is throwing things out that are maybe your significant other wants to hang on to, and you see as clutter.
Yes, I would agree. There are a couple of things that are barometers for relationships in my lifetime.
All right.
Canoeing. You ever been canoeing on like a whitewater rafting trip?
Yes.
When you've got to work together in a canoe?
Yes.
Oh, that breaks up relationships.
Well, what you need to realize is that 9 times out of 10, so I've gone canoeing with my wife and kayaking, and if you're both in the same boat or kayak, you will be doing the predominant amount of work. That's okay. Just accept that. Don't say, come on. That won't go over because you're supposed to be the person who's going to propel the boat. Accept that. Move on.
Another thing I did, hanging wallpaper with a significant other. Oh. That will strain a relationship.
Yeah.
Kathy, you know, got a kick out of that.
She agrees.
Because everybody's doing that peel and stick wallpaper, and they're like, it's so easy, you can do it yourself. No, you can't.
It's horrible. We actually did that. We moved into an apartment, and we were stripping wallpaper so much so, I mean, we were knee deep in the shards of the old wallpaper, and then I was wondering, is there actually a wall here? Yeah. Is it just wallpaper?
Something that almost broke up my marriage was trying to put together a desk from IKEA one time.
Yes.
That got ugly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've learned if I ever get anything from IKEA, I pay the extra money for somebody to come to my home and put it together.
Really?
Oh, no. No.
No? And do they send some sort of a Swedish model over to put it together?
Olga came in and put my chest of drawers together.
Yeah. You're on the TV.
Oh, Lord. I'm now living with her. Anyway, thank you, kids.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. We'll see you guys. Enjoy the rest of your week is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
All right. Good morning to see you as well. Let's take a look at traffic and see what's going on this morning. Kathy, what do you have for us?
We've got a couple of things happening here. We'll start at the 30 bypass eastbound. Stop traffic between Reeseville Road and 340. This is an accident. No word yet on if the road is closed or if they've just got one lane blocked, but you're stopped between Reeseville Road and 340. So we'll keep you updated there. And then we'll go all the way to Bucks County now. Route 1 southbound stopped between 413 and the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It's just a disabled vehicle, but it is blocking the right lane, so you can squeeze by on the left side. We've got volume building on the Blue Route northbound from 95 to the Media Bypass. Southbound side from the bypass to Baltimore Pike. Schuylkill eastbound slows 202 into Belmont. Heavy the Boulevard to the Vine. Westbound past Young to the Vine. The Boulevard out to the Blue Route. On the Boulevard southbound, you're slow from Broad to Wissahickon. Also southbound at Ridge Avenue. We had a disabled vehicle that has been cleared. A water main break in Cherry Hill Township, Route 70 eastbound closed between Cuthbert Boulevard and Cornell Avenue. We've got the on and off ramps closed there as well. 55 northbound, heavy Deptford to 42. This traffic report brought to you by Beachbound Vacations. What is it about the beach that draws us in at Beachbound Vacations? They can't answer that, but they can get you there in style with top resorts, ocean view rooms, and luxury transportation. Book your getaway at beachbound.com. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
I brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. They made over 20,000 air conditioner repairs last year that could have been avoided with a Horizon tune-up. Avoid repairs and lower cooling bills with Horizon's no breakdowns guarantee. You can book online at horizoneasybook.com. All right, interesting story here. The victim in a federal kidnapping case who was snatched from a casino at National Harbor in 2021 and robbed is going to prison for 18 months.
What?
The reason being is he tried to get $5,000 from one of his attackers in exchange for not testifying or giving a false account.
So he was selling his testimony.
Yes.
And which is the dumbass?
He wrote in an Instagram direct message, which was displayed in court records, it said, either you cough up some bread or sit in the feds for the next 20 years.
Hey, you rhymed that. Cough up the bread or sit in the Fed.
John J. Gabrani pleaded guilty to the full-hearted scheme, as his defense attorney described it.
That's Gabrani.
Was sentenced on Friday. The FBI task force officers found Gabrani in Washington, D.C. with blood running down the front of his face and a broken nose. At first, he said he had been hurt in a fall, but later said he had been lured out of the casino. Two men told him that if he could get them cocaine, they would pay him and find a woman to have sex with him.
Hmm.
So he obtained cocaine from a source, and he said his attackers put a gun to his face, took him to a boiler room of an apartment building.
Is this where the woman is?
Where he was beaten, and they stole things from his hotel room at the casino. They took $10,000 in cash, casino chips, and an Xbox.
That really hurt. Where's the woman?
Five men were arrested and charged with the crime, including Trey David Sherman. Now, beginning in June of last year, Gabrani contacted Sherman over social media, sending taunting messages and asking to get paid. He said, call me if you want to finesse trial. 3 weeks before Sherman's trial, Gabrani sent another series of messages saying he wanted $5,000. Prosecutors say Gabrani told another person that he was, quote, dancing with the devil by seeking such payments. Referring to Sherman, he said, I'm auctioning off his freedom. Last month, Sherman was sentenced to 10 and a half years. Four other defendants pled guilty, and they were sentenced between 10 and 14 years in prison. Gabrani, who moved from Fairfax, Virginia to Florida after the incident, was indicted by a federal grand jury in October and pleaded guilty last month. So he is going to jail.
How many years is he getting?
He's getting 18 months.
Oh, 18 months.
So he's getting a year and a half. Yeah. How about this? A crocodile farmer in northern Cambodia has been torn to pieces by about 40 of the reptiles after falling into their enclosure.
That's why I never buy those crocodile seeds.
Luan Nam, who is 72, tried to move one of the egg-laying animals out of its cage when it grabbed his stick in its mouth and pulled him in his stick.
Yes.
Not if it sounded like I said something else. Other crocodiles pounced, attacking him until he was dead.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Mr. Nam's body was covered with bite marks, and one of his arms was missing. The victim was the president of the local Crocodile Farmers Association, by the way.
Uh-huh. This would not have happened were he a farmer like that deals with tomatoes.
Yes. By the way, in 2019, a two-year-old girl was killed and eaten by crocodiles at a similar farm in the area. And the animals are bred for their eggs, skin, and meat in the Southeast Asian
nation.
Well,
they turned the tables, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Alerts for dangerous animals on the loose are commonplace in Florida, a state that leads the nation for escapes of wild creatures ranging from bears, lions, monkeys, snakes, and tigers.
Oh, my.
But a stalking beast currently terrifying residents of Sewanee County after sending two people to the emergency room in separate attacks turns out to be a domestic cat with attitude that has evaded capture for almost a week. Deputies have laid traps for the fractious feline.
I'm coming for you.
But have so far failed to make an arrest.
I'm coming for you.
Instead, the office's animal control unit is advising the public to be mindful of the cat and other animals in the area that present signs of rabies. During two separate incidents, residents exercising and walking on 174th Street were attacked by a cat. Both residents received injuries serious enough that they had to seek medical treatment from local hospitals.
Yeah, a cat can dice up pretty good, and I have eight of them.
He's a cat.
St. John.
That's one of the witnesses, Press.
Oh.
He's a cat.
So far, declined to issue a rabies alert due to the cat not being captured or not being able to confirm that the cat has rabies or not, but they are.
The cat that attacked me could flush a toilet.
Yes.
He's a cat.
Joshua Jenkins of Altoona was arrested Thursday night after he called 911 for a house fire that he reportedly started while trying to burn spiders.
How many times have you had this exact same story of someone who figures the best way to kill a house spider is with fire?
Police say that Jenkins was combative when first responders arrived and gave them difficulty trying to locate the fire. He reportedly told them
I can handle things, I'm smart.
He was upset.
He reportedly told them that he was using a butane torch. Actually, it turned out to be a propane torch to burn the spiders.
What are them tanes?
And their nests from the outside of his home. Police accused him of trying to stop firefighters from taking a fire hose into his home. Officials reported seeing 15 burn marks on the outside of the house.
Oh, my God.
And numerous burn marks inside the home, despite Jenkins denying that he used the torch inside. Officials said that the home likely would have burned down if Jenkins not called 911.
Was he holding the torch behind his back and sort of kicking the loose dirt in front of him?
He was charged with arson, risking a catastrophe, possession of an instrument of crime, tampering with evidence, and other charges as well.
Do you know that happens a lot, too, when there's a bee hive?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like under the awning?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll burn down the house.
Burn down the house.
Yep. Last story. An investigation has been launched into the death of a British man who was reportedly struck by lightning while paddleboarding in Greece.
Oh, wow. God.
Yeah. The unnamed man was in the sea off of the beach in Aegea Agathe, Rhodes, and his girlfriend filmed him from the beach. The Port Authority confirmed that the man was 26 and a British national, but would give no further information. Greek newspaper Rodaki reported lightning struck the water near the man shortly before 1:30 p.m. on Monday, causing him to fall in the water injured. A newspaper reported a passerby waded into the water to pull the man back to shore. Medics then took him to a local hospital before he was declared dead. Wow, that's messed up.
I mean, you're the highest thing on the water at that point.
Yeah. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. By the way, in the next B file, I've got, for the first time ever, I have all, I'm calling it the twinsies. I have two types of every story that I'm going to share with you.
It has two of them.
It has two of them in the bizarre file, which I found kind of interesting that it turned out that way. So you'll have to stick around for the next one a little bit later on. All right, we are going to break. I'll remind you, we have a secret text word, and it turns out they are tickets to see Kevin James, who's going to be playing Friday, June 16th, the Academy of Music. So text the word secret to 39333. And we will see if you win. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR presents
The I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. Friday, June 16th. Two locations. In Oaks at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center or South Philly at the Event Center. Inside Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Sign up now at WMMR.com. Donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt, a Window Nation tote bag, Everfresh juice, and our sincere thanks for making a real difference in our community. Appointments are required, so secure your preferred time today at WMMR.com. The 18th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, benefiting the American Red Cross from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Hey Steve, your Mutiny on the Mashulu is coming up,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. We're a little over a week away. It is the Mutiny on the Mashulu, MU3, Back to the Sea, and it is benefiting Max Fund, which is the charity my wife started. Provides a centralized fund that all of the animal charities can pull off of and help cats, homeless, feral, in the tri-state area. It's great. The party is a big happy hour party. It's at the Mashulu. Free parking that evening. They've suspended the parking charges specifically for this event. Your ticket gets you Algorithm Vegan Grill, Zaz Ice Cream, Tuckin' S'mores, Nothing But Cakes, Rosie's Kettle Corn, Insomnia Cookies, Finger Food for the Mashulu, and more. Plus, the booze, Yards Brewery, Boardroom, Chadsford Winery, Clear Rum, Stateside Vodka, and more. Live entertainers like Douglas Stafford, who does giant bubble blowing and juggling, Mike Palladino, a magician, Strongman Todd Jones, tarot card readers Regan Tilton and Jacqueline Baker, and all sorts of stuff. The Pirateers, Kittens to Pet, raffles and prizes. For one ticket price, $40, gets you all of that for the evening, and you will benefit a lot of animals if you do it. I'll be there. I'd love to see you. Come down and hang on the top deck of the Mashulu there on what I hope will be a lovely evening. And it's people who've been love it, and it's the return after a couple of years. We'd love to see you there. So
excellent. And thank that you. Info's up at PrestonSteve.com. Go
yes.
Right there. You will get it all there. I saw a few things. I didn't notice them.
What?
I streamed them. Snore.
The stream of consciousness, sir.
Yes.
Stream so you don't have to.
These are things that just roll right off of my mind.
The most consciousness, sir, of any person you'll ever know.
So we're going to start with the game of
Otherworldly.
The game of badminton.
Badminton.
The Badminton World Federation.
I love badminton, by the way. I just have to say that.
Well, listen, I remember I haven't played it in ages, and I just remember it being so fun.
Yeah.
Because you can really whack that thing.
Yes.
And throw it way up in the air, which makes it kind of fun. But I bought a badminton set a couple of years ago, and I have not put it up one time. I don't have enough room.
So here's what I got.
You need plenty of room to play it.
I got one that you don't have to stake into the ground. Mm. That okay. you can just set it. It sets down on its stand.
Well,
quickly.
What I mean is room to hit the shuttlecock and not lose it in my
bring
neighbor's yard
beach.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, the beach.
Yeah,
but it's too windy.
Pretty windy at the
when
beach.
It's really bad. Even a slight breeze can really knock out a game of badminton.
Mm. Mm. But. I'll have to give it a try, Case.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the Badminton World Foundation has extended the ban on the new spin serve.
What the hell?
Until next year's Paris Olympics and Paralympics.
What's the spin serve?
So they temporarily banned the serve this month, which involves a player spinning the shuttle before launching it after it proved to be tough to return or completely unplayable as well.
So do you, when you serve, underhand or overhand?
Under.
Okay, so I throw it up and hit it over.
Well, I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would depend.
How do you just slap your shuttlecock?
Like tennis, I definitely throw overhand, but I don't know about throwing the shuttlecock up in the air.
Boom.
And whether or not to hit it that way or
not.
It
really depends on how many drinks you're holding at the time.
This is true.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a game for the drinker.
So the BWF... The Badminton World Foundation.
Absolutely.
Said, after consultation with the badminton community, BWF Council believed it best to forbid the spin serve for another 15 months so as to not impact the Olympic and Paralympic qualifying periods and the games themselves.
I can't see. All right, so we're watching a demonstration.
Okay.
All right. So what it does is it causes it to wobble in a lopsided fashion.
Yep. So it's not coming straight over with the base of the shuttlecock going forward.
However, in regular play, you can get that to happen. But just as in a normal rally back and forth over the net, I think if it's so unreturnable and it makes the game boring to watch, Are they going to incorporate it and allow it, or are they going to forbid it?
They're banning it as of now. Huh. So the BWF Secretary General, Thomas Lund.
Oh, my God. He must have loads of military honors.
So they said of the governing body, they said they welcomed innovation in badminton, but added that more evidence was needed on the potential effects of the serve before introducing it.
There's a lot of innovation in badminton.
The ban will be in place for the Thailand Open, which begins on Tuesday.
I can't remember the last time I actually played. I mean, I do enjoy playing, but, I mean, it's been probably over a decade.
My buddy Steve is coming in town in July and wants to fire up. I have a ping pong table. We never use it. But his daughter is coming, too, and she loves playing ping pong. So we're gonna break that out. We're going to start playing it. And I remember playing Steve, and he can really put some spin on the ball.
Yes.
Okay.
And it makes it so hard to return.
So that's my thing, too. I love putting the spin on it. And I have an all-weather ping pong table that you can sort of leave out. It will not rust. I got it from a place on 309. I think it's Royal
Billiards. Royal Billiards,
yeah. Right. So it's great. But a lot of times, Preston, outside, again, with ping pong.
The wind.
If a breeze, you can't play ping pong.
The
like
ball
that.
Is so light.
Yeah, yeah.
I have friends from college who every single year, we have a, you know, so they're all, most of them are local, but we have a friend who lives in Massachusetts and he'll come down. And every year he comes down, they do this two-day, it's an event with a bunch of different sporting events. I think they call it the Tri-Davalot.
All right. And, I like that.
And so they play golf, they bowl. I think they play tennis. I don't know if they play badminton or not, but every single year they do it, I'm like unavailable to play. And I would love to take part in the Tri-Davalot.
Ping pong and badminton figure into those. Again, you even though I have the table and the badminton net, you don't play it a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't.
Well, we're talking about games like this. I want to give a shout out to a guy named Chris Greco. He stopped by last week. He invented a game called Zoogie Ball.
And oh, yeah.
He made a board for us.
Is that what that board is?
Yeah. And it's a beach game mostly, Steve. Yeah. But I guess you could play in the backyard as well. But, you know, I showed it to you guys. He was thinking about maybe making an MMR one or a President Steve one. But it's really fun. And, I mean, I don't know if it's fun or not. I haven't played it yet. But
is it like cornhole?
It looks like fun. Yeah. It kind of like cornhole. But, think about like any type of bag-o type of a game where there's a target, but this, you're bouncing the ball off of the board, and then you got to catch it. And then there's a whole lot of rules that are associated with it. But it basically came down to a bunch of people sitting around the beach, bored, and they invented a game,
yep.
You know, and that's what they're doing with these boards.
I think
that's
the games that survive, Preston, are beach games, horseshoes,
yeah.
Bag-o, that had where the pieces have weight to them. Because mm-hmm. You can play that, you know, even a stiff wind will not be a problem.
Nick, I think all of those beach games came from people that were sitting around drinking and just started throwing. Just throwing stuff around.
I'm going to throw a bottle at your forehead if I hit it 10 points.
Yeah. And they made a game out of it.
It's a cool design, though. So thanks to Chris for giving
How
us one.
How do you play
Zoogie
it?
Ball.
You got to bounce the ball off of this target area case, right?
The Zoogie. Uh-huh.
And then so I bounce it off the ball, off the board, and then you got to catch it. So you're on one side of the beach and I'm on the other side. And so I'll show you.
And then you have to hit it right back down. Like it's like a fast moving game.
So, you know,
you
the
have
game.
A partner. You play with a partner.
You know, the game with the little trampoline?
Yep.
It's like that, only an angled board.
Okay.
A little bit. And you've got to go. There's a line drawn in the sand that is, you know, that separates.
Is it almost
the board,
like portable, a riff a little bit on racquetball?
Yeah, it could be like
kinda
with the hand and not a racket.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what all the rules
and
are.
And you're catching, not hitting.
Do a little search on a little video on that.
It's like spearfishing.
I have another story from Stream of Consciousnessner that.
The Stream of Consciousnessner.
Has to do with birds.
He introduced us to Zoogie Ball.
Birds and beaches.
Birds and beaches.
Seagulls.
Yes.
We were talking about the seagull screech contest we had at Keenan's and what a absolute success that was.
Amazing.
Who was our winner?
Joan.
Unbelievable. But I did not know this. Somebody sent me this about Ocean City. That, you know, obviously, seagulls are an issue at any of the beach, you know, especially boardwalks where there's a lot of people gathering.
Food.
There's a lot of food left out. Well, there's a company called East Coast Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
And they use them in Ocean City.
Yeah, they've been doing this for a little while.
Yeah, for
they scare
a while.
The seagulls, right?
Yep. So they essentially walk up and down the boardwalk.
Oh, my God.
And they have falcons. That they take with them, and they terrify the seagulls, and they scare them out of it.
So anything like, people will put this in, you know, down at the shore, they'll put basically a fake Falcon up on a post, and that'll keep them away.
Hmm. Does that really work, though?
Apparently, I guess.
So the seagulls crap all over the Falcon. Yeah. They're like, you're not real.
Yeah,
so like it was my understanding when they started this years ago, and I could be wrong if they're still doing it, was that it sort of was to train them and that eventually the Falcons wouldn't need to be on the boardwalk. Like the seagulls would almost be trained to not be there.
And maybe they could take a year or two off.
I'm not going there. They got Falcons.
See if it comes back around and do it again.
That's what I thought, but now that
I do Brigantine, I do They have a very effective Falcon program. Stay away.
Well, because the seagulls were bad at on the Ocean City.
Thanks
boardwalk.
A lot.
No, I mean, like, I had never seen anything like it. I think it was probably pre-COVID that I was there, and I could not, I mean, right outside of the pizza shop, I mean, literally taking slices of pizza as people were walking away with their food, like almost diving into the little shop.
They get very aggressive.
It was incredible.
Yeah, when it looks like you're you know, the seagull action off a trawler outside of a pizza place, you've got problems.
So Ocean City Council had awarded the contract for 2023.
I'd like to speak, if I may.
To 2025.
And they danced.
Oh, this is from Kenan.
That's Joan?
That's Joan?
Uh-huh.
Hang on a second. One more time.
Her first one was like, people just went nuts.
Yep. So anyhow, this place, East Coast Falcons, was given the contract for this year through 25. And they are a New Jersey-based bird abatement company owned by Eric Swanson. The contract.
Swanson. Oh, come on.
Swanson.
You got Eric.
Eric!
So the
stop looking at me, Swan.
Son.
Contract is for $316,920.
So I assume there are companies like this that, for example, make sure that there aren't geese at airports or ducks that can fly into jet engines.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is a vital service. I assume that the boardwalk businesses would pool their resources and pay for this.
So the contract will run from April to October.
What happens if the falcon population then increases, Preston, and now they become a problem?
Yep.
What are you going to do, condors?
I don't know what goes after.
Then pterodactyls?
Falcons. Among some of the highlights of this year's plan will be more concentrated coverage in the downtown and eateries throughout the island, in addition to the boardwalk and beach coverage. Swanson said, we have hired a few more falconers to cover the expanded areas.
So in the world of birds like this, pigeons or seagulls, which do you...
Are worse?
Yeah, which
I think seagulls.
Oh, seagulls.
I think so, too.
Yeah. By far.
But they're prettier to look at than pigeons.
The pigeons won't come after you for anything. The seagulls
well,
will.
Well, for debt, if you owe the money. Yeah.
Ew, you think seagulls are pretty?
Prettier.
Yeah, I do. I think
prettier than... Oh, so you think pigeons are prettier?
I'm like, ew, it's just like this big white rat.
Big white rat.
Flying rat.
You should be their PR.
Yeah. But, like, you think that pigeons are more pleasant to the eye?
I think pigeons are ugly, too.
Okay.
I think they're both fine birds. They taste great.
I'm not saying anything bad about pigeons. I just think seagulls are better looking. Oh,
so we have a side-by-side comparison photo here. You have some of the pigeons in the foreground and seagulls in the background. So,
I feel like this picture is making the pigeons actually look better than they are. Wait, I had something.
It's from the Pigeon Gazette.
Wait, I have a bird story for you.
Oh,
that
my
I actually
God.
Stopped to watch these two stupid birds because it was so interesting. Okay, so it was a black bird with white on it. I'm not sure which one those are in our area. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, Nick?
Keep going.
It's like a distinct white line through the wings. Anyway, okay. It was that. And then a larger bird in a tree. And that little thing was like teasing him and picking on the...
Yes.
The bigger bird, he kept going after him. They were like making a lot of noise.
Stop
looking
at me, Swan.
I was watching two birds fight in a tree.
That doesn't seem like something you'd be into.
Well, I mean, you couldn't not look. I was walking yesterday, and they were making so much noise, and it was such a ruckus that like people stopped to watch it.
Okay, interesting. Because I mean, sometimes you'll see raptors flying around, and then smaller birds are flying in and pecking at them to try and scare them away. But I've never seen them in a tree doing that.
Yeah, really? When they were like at the top of the tree.
They get really aggressive with each other.
It may have been a starling.
Starling.
Cat. Yes.
Sounds right. I have no idea.
So the Swanson said we have a few more falconers to cover the expanded areas. In addition, he said there will be full-time and part-time handlers of birds. And he said that there will also be new birds of prey. In total, there will be two Harris's hawks 8 Falcons, 8 backup Falcons, and Ozzy the Owl.
6 gerbils, 2 cats, a hamster, and a rabbit.
Ozzy the Owl. Owls can be aggressive, too. Now, Al the ringleader, or they're all going to be repelling seagulls?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I have a friend who had, my friend Scott had an owl in his backyard, and they built a... Lord. They built a birdhouse for the owl, an owl house, I guess, and then the owl had 2 hatchlings. And so Scott recorded them getting Kathy would have bored you to tears, but I found it fascinating.
Getting off on this, huh?
they you know, watching the owls get bigger and bigger, and then eventually flying. And the way that they learn how to fly is by falling out of the nest.
As we've heard, right?
Yeah. And so Scott has video and photos of them, and just in his backyard, I think great horned owls or whatever. But for me, it was really cool to see.
They are amazing to look at. They're amazing with the head rotation, but... Another amazing aspect is their projectile crapping. Have you ever seen an owl take a dump?
No.
I have a video.
Okay. What are you, a cock?
I love it, man. I love to watch owls get it on.
I just saw, and I can't believe people do this, but it's like a helmet that goes, head, and it has a shield, and then it has these little things that shoot out from it, and I guess you put the, like, liquid or whatever that to attract hummingbirds so that the hummingbirds will fly
right in front of your face.
I've seen it.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
For some reason, it popped up on my Instagram. Would you do that?
No. How boring. What, are we going to sit there and wait for a hummingbird?
Okay.
I saw one. It's not like a contraption necessarily, but... You put like a hoodie on, and then you get like a little plate, and you put bird seed on the plate, and you wear like sunglasses so it doesn't see your eyes, and the birds will come down and
eat off the. It's awesome.
Uh huh.
I would. That's very cool. Yeah.
If you guys want to send me outside one morning to sit with that on my head and eat for a hummingbird, I would do that.
Okay.
I don't think we'd get hummingbirds.
Well, you know, there are some in the area for sure. Right, I mean, now. some are more prominent in areas. I know people who have some hummingbird feeders. We've never tried
it. We do.
Out. Do you?
Yeah, it works. You know, they have to be red for some reason. I guess hummingbirds are attracted to red feeders.
Yeah, the helmet was red.
Yep. Yeah, and so you have to have special hummingbird juice.
Okay.
I got it.
They will come for that.
It's called the Hum Viewer, as seen on Shark Tank.
Is it really?
It was a Shark Tank thing.
Sharks, we love birds, and we know you do, too.
God. Wow. All right, well, anyhow, they're using
this
more of those.
This isn't some... fly-by-night venture
in Ocean City this year. So hopefully your seagull problem won't be bothering you too much. Yeah, we need to get one of those.
I'm going to order it, Kathy.
Okay.
Oh, but you've got to promise it's only $1 million.
We have to find someone who's got an area that has a hummingbird population.
I think right out here in the Ballard parking lot.
That'll work perfect.
I'm going to order you 2 versions. I'm going to order the one for regular birds and for the hummingbirds.
Okay.
All right, speaking of birds, I have a... story about flying.
Flying.
See, I'm trying to string the string and stream.
String and stringy.
The New Zealand Civil Aviation Authority is requiring its national airline passengers to weigh themselves as they depart on international flights.
Oh, my God.
From Auckland International Airport through July 2nd.
But you don't have... I can't imagine that you have to be a certain weight. Is this just to keep track of what's in the cabin?
So the program, which Air New Zealand calls a passenger weight survey, is a way to gather data...
Yeah, 111 pounds.
...on the weight, load, and distribution for planes. A lot of people don't realize aircraft, and they have to balance the aircraft. When they put the luggage in and everything, they make sure that if it's not like all jam-packed, they try to shift the weight around and to keep it even. I've been on a plane where there haven't been that many people seated, and they've asked people to move because of weight distribution.
Or if you smaller puddle jumpers from time to time, when I was flying on those fairly frequently, they would weigh you.
Helicopters too.
Yeah,
I've been on helicopter tours, and they sit you in a very specific location because of your weight.
I had them weigh me getting on an escalator.
Wow,
that seemed weird.
So they said we weigh everything that goes on the aircraft, from the cargo to the meals on board to the luggage in the hold. For customers, crew, and cabin bags, we use average weights, which we get from doing this survey. Still, weight is a personal thing that not everyone wishes to disclose. In order to protect individuals' privacy, the airline says it has made the data anonymous.
We'd like to make a request to that gorilla in C7 to move across the aisle.
Travelers will be asked to stand on a digital scale when they check in for their flight. The information about their weight is then submitted to the survey but will not be viewable on the agent's screen.
There you go.
And they will also place the luggage on another identical scale for separate weighing. So this is just a thing they're doing for a few months to kind of get an average.
Well, you remember, I believe it was at Aaliyah? The plane wasn't weighted properly, and they believe that led to its crash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so if you're flying out of New Zealand over the next month or so, you might be asked to be weighed when you step onto the aircraft. All right, let's talk about boobs now.
Yay!
Yeah, I have no time.
Boobies!
Good transition there.
Hummingbirds to boobies.
I couldn't think of anything that tied it in. All right, so the ideal breast size and shape has been revealed in a new study.
Oh, may I guess?
Yes.
30 pounds cubicle.
No. In fact, I don't even have a distinct listing of what the exact
more photos are
ratio
they?
Is. Yeah, so
I would say the rounder the better.
Researchers asked about 1,000 men and women to score pictures of more than two dozen breasts for attractiveness.
Okay, for just simply not as far as applicable to an active lifestyle or something like that. What looks the best?
What's most appealing to the eye? They found that those that were moderately sized and had more volume in the area above the nipples, which is called upper pole fullness, scored the highest.
Now you're turning me on.
Nipples that were close together also scored high.
Okay, so it's not. I thought it was like round, oblong.
I mean,
parallelogram.
Yeah. Square.
Yeah, kind of. And they also said, nipples that were closer together scored high. Also, perky breasts scored high.
I think perky would be the term that is most applied to when someone is lauded for their bust. That perky is an adjective you'll hear a lot.
They kind of pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everyone wants perky breasts. No one wants them to sag.
Right.
Ideally.
Yeah, want them saggy, please.
But perky,
go to the doctor. Yeah, I would like them gently touching my knees would be splendid.
When I hear the word perky, I also think of nipples, too.
Yeah.
That they kind of,
pop.
Are prominent.
I do prefer a saggy breast over a fake breast any day.
Some of the ones that when people go to excess... Mm-hmm. It looks so patently basketballish.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone is happy with that.
The mini basketballs.
Yes.
Even the small basketballs.
It just looks absolutely wrong.
By the way, size and symmetry did not appear to be crucial. For the study, the researchers from New York University used images of breasts of women who had surgery consultations between 2009 and 2019. The individuals were all 47 years old and most likely had not previously undergone any breast enhancement surgery. Participants were asked to score the breast from 1 to 5 based on their perception of attractiveness, 5 being reserved for the most attractive and 1 for the least. Results showed that the breasts scored 2.5 on average, but the 5 best breasts had an average score of 3.1, as well as having more upper volume.
So above the nipple.
Yep, and being moderately sized compared to the other breasts. The top ones had a significantly smaller distance between the nipples.
So when someone is standing, the distance between each nipple is what they're measuring.
Yes. So, okay, that's part of it. So they didn't like the ones that, came on the outside.
Right.
Like the Marty Feldman nipples.
The thyroid disease.
It was also notable that the top two images for attractiveness did not have symmetrical breasts either. So
one's
a little bit, if we're looking at the photos, look at number one. The one is lower than the other.
Yeah, I would imagine that's for most women.
Yeah.
What one is probably the norm, correct?
Yeah.
And the second one looks like Norm from Cheers.
The second one looks a little bit smaller, and third one even smaller. Fourth are the largest pair.
Right.
And then fifth seem to be the smallest of the, but not, they're definitely prominent there.
Right.
That's interesting.
They're perky, though.
Yeah, they are perky, aren't they?
Of the five up there, which do you guys prefer?
I don't know. I kind of like, I like one and five. I think those are my two favorites.
I think I would agree with that. Because I don't need the abundance is not to essential giant. To me.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure your wife has four and larger.
Who, Rochelle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I like big boobies.
She's got both 4 and 5 cavities.
Rochelle has wonderful boobs. Yes, absolutely.
At Keenan's, these two women were standing kind of near the front of the room. And after the show, one of them goes, "My nipples are brown and hers are pink. Now, you don't have to tell us what yours are. We just wanted to let you know." I was
"Oh, that's great. That's great.
Thank you, sisters."
Limitations of this particular study include that it looked at ratings from both men and women and that it did not include the full range of breast sizes and shapes. They added that the use of photographs in the study may have hindered participants' ability to fully appreciate certain aspects of the breast.
You need someone who's really astute with this, like a Gary Lauer.
Maybe.
So the whole industry of bras is, it's still a lot of money, right? I mean,
bras?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an expensive industry. And I wonder if now with the ability to sort of take a picture and sort of 3D take a shot of, you know, your body helps in buying an appropriate bra, right? Because I know there's all these, like, Amazon.
I mean, it helps with breast implants because that's what they do. They put it on them so that they can see what they'll look like.
Right. Casey's on the phone right now, but I was curious. There's a bra place that he loves.
It has a billboard.
It has a billboard when you're headed down 95 South.
Bare Essentials!
There you go. That's it. Bare Essentials. He loves the model.
Oh, yeah. And she's still there. She's right by Crozier Chester Medical Center.
Did we find out who she was? We did, didn't we?
We did. We did. We couldn't get her on, but
I went to a Union game last year and drove by that, and my buddy Jim was in. I'm like, "Oh, Casey loves her boobs."
Yeah.
I pointed out.
No, but her face.
Well, I know that. Yeah,
it's her face first, and then and she's got great cleavage as well. But, like, she kind of looks like a Marina Baccarin.
I think I say like a Marine.
She kind of looks like a Marine.
She's very attractive. She kind of looks like a Marine, like a Marine.
Anyhow, so the not necessarily giant breasts are what is most popular.
Like Norma Stitz. Yeah. That's probably, would you call those perky?
No, I would not call those perky.
But cleavage is that's my kryptonite, man.
Is your kryptonite?
Oh, no doubt.
Kryptonite would repel you.
It kills me. It doesn't repel me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's my weakness, so to speak.
It's your weakness.
Like, that's what I mean. Do you like big boob cleavage where they're like touching, or do you like...
touching cleavage. Okay.
We're looking at a picture of Norma Stitz in the studio, Kathy. That's workable, right?
So when you are meaning that you're kryptonite, where like you can't help but look if you see cleave,
I'm like I try not to be creepy or whatever, but when I see,
honest.
When I see it, I'm like, oh god. Oh, and yeah. I've tried to dissect.
You're gonna be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh yeah.
Stopping short. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Dissect what like the cleavage actually is, and it really. It's a shadow.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
I would say you're right.
Oh, that's all it is.
It's a shadow.
And how long have you been considering these boobies shadows? Yeah.
I was with my friend the night before the Keenan's broadcast, and she had this open back sweater on, and I'm like, "Oh, you can go out without a bra?" And she's like, "Yeah, all the time." I'm so jealous of that. Yeah.
It's got to be uncomfortable, right?
Did you not uncomfortable, just my boobs would sag if I didn't wear a bra.
Did you post a picture of you guys? I want to see what she looks like.
I don't remember.
I'm going to look at her boobies.
Oh, it was on my stories.
Oh,
okay. In case you ever fall for, like, is this cleavage or a butt crack? You'll see.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't like the butt crack, and I do like the cleavage, and they're the exact damn thing.
It's true.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
Just it's location.
Comes back to real estate, man.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
Tom Skivington would know.
We have time for another.
Yeah, a couple more.
Another stream.
Our next guest overslept. I was just on the phone with her.
Oh, okay. All right. Earth apparently has a new moon or a quasi moon.
Ooh, I love this.
A new study is revealed.
Did you see? I'm sorry. Well, they're talking about moons. Like, they just discovered like 61 more moons of Saturn.
Wow.
Yeah, 61?
Haven't we reached the point where, like, at least in our solar system, we know everything that's out there? But no, they keep discovering new moons.
And that kind of upsets my faith in them that they had these.
Kind of, yeah.
How did you miss that? So when you tell us we're not going to be colliding with an asteroid anytime soon, I'm not sure I believe that.
No.
It's a big, big open space out there. So the new study has revealed that a quasi-moon is actually a space rock that circles the Earth, but it's gravitationally bound to the sun. So it's not really our moon, but it is kind of hanging out with us.
Is that the subject of the song Fly Me to the Quasi Moon?
Maybe. The quasi moon called 2023 FW13 was discovered by experts using the Pan-STARRS telescope at the top of Haleakala volcano in Hawaii.
So,
which I've been to the top of.
You've been to. So what exactly is its orbital path?
So it is one of a handful of known quasi moons. So it's weird. It has its own orbit outside of us, but its actual orbit is around the sun. It's kind of strange. Experts think the ancient cosmic companion has been in Earth's vicinity since 100 BC and will keep circling our planet for at least another 1,500 years until AD 3700, and then it's going to zip off.
Cast off into the outer reaches.
It will continue to stay with our sun. It's going to hang in there, but it's not going to circle our planet. It's really weird.
We're looking at its trajectory. Oh, that's kind of interesting. So it's under the sun's gravitational pull, and yet it's
circling our planet. So it's a temporary.
How big is it?
Can it type?
I don't know if it types or not, and I'm not sure how big it is, Casey. They didn't indicate in this particular story that I saw.
It has to be fairly small if it's...
Yeah, exactly.
If we're you know, this is just a recent discovery and it's orbiting our planet.
I don't know what size it is.
I don't like that.
Unfortunately. I'm sorry. I will move on to something else that maybe you like.
Stream of consciousness comes up short.
All right, this reminds you of the movie The Naked Gun. Queen Elizabeth faced a potential assassination threat during a 1983 visit to the U.S., according to newly released FBI documents.
So she was at the baseball game?
She was at the baseball game.
Right.
Reggie Jackson
uncovered second base.
Right, and there was a pistol waiting for her.
Yes.
Right.
No, they showed...
I remember the footage of her passing a hot dog down.
So the FBI has released a cache of files relating to the visit that she had in the U.S. in 1983. They show how the FBI, which helped secure the monarch's safety during her visits, worried about IRA threats. The assassination threat was made to a police officer in San Francisco. And according to the file, an officer who frequented an Irish pub in San Francisco warned federal agents about a call from a man he had met at the venue. The officer said that the man had told him he was seeking revenge for his daughter, who had been killed in Northern Ireland by a rubber bullet. And the threat came on the 4th of February, 1983, about a month ahead of the Queen's visit.
Didn't they have Wallace Shawn dress up as her and go as a double?
They probably should have, but no. He was, according to the officer, he said he was going to attempt to harm Queen Elizabeth and would do this by either dropping some object off of the Golden Gate Bridge onto the royal yacht Britannia when it sailed underneath, or would attempt to kill Queen Elizabeth when she visited Yosemite National Park.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Did they suggest as to what would have been pushed off the Golden Gate Bridge? Would it have been like a boulder?
No, I assume it would have been something explosive. Okay. In response to the threat, the Secret Service said...
Whatever Wile E. Coyote was using, he'd go with that.
Or maybe
a piano. A grand piano.
He would set drop a piano, but it would have a little note on it with some music that you were supposed to play.
Play this
with TNT.
I think I can play that.
Wired to one of the keys.
I think I can do that. One second. Let me get my knuckles all set, and then Casey, if I. Not like that!
You stupid rabbit! Like this!
Meant for me.
Still one of my favorite gags from Looney Tunes. So in response to the threat, the Secret Service had planned to close the walkways on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, of course.
As the yacht nears, and it's unclear what measures were taken at Yosemite.
I'm going to close the actual bridge.
But the visit went ahead. No details of arrest were published by the FBI.
It could have been extra dicey because, as she liked to do when she would come into a major city, she would ski behind the yacht.
With her full outfit
full
on.
Outfit. And part of the whole presentation, she was supposed to jump a shark.
All right.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Dan, dan, dan.
I love it.
I can do this.
I was looking at Yosemite last night for potential vacation for 2024 because the hotel where the Queen stayed is called the Awani, and you have to book it a year in advance. It's one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. It's probably the most beautiful hotel in all of the national parks. And you can actually stay in the same room that the Queen has stayed in.
Wow. Really? Yeah, same TV remote she used.
Yep, same remote. Although, you know what? That was 83. They probably have updated that.
Maybe they've memorialized it, though.
Yeah, but it's this unbelievably gorgeous hotel. And rooms are affordable. The Queen's suite, not so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, one last story from Stream of Consciousness Nerve.
Stream of Consciousness Nerve.
The General Service Administration is auctioning off free and discounted lighthouses across the United States.
I've always wanted to live in a lighthouse.
In an attempt to preserve these historical landmarks that once served as crucial beacons for the survivor of sailors.
I love little lighthouse figurines, and I think they're fascinating. I love that whole deal.
We had a 5 foot tall one at our beach house, but a storm came through last year and destroyed it.
Did the light work at the top?
Yeah.
That is ironic.
Yeah, isn't it though?
I'm glad I'm learning about it now. I don't think I could have taken it at the moment.
Six lighthouses will be given away for free.
What?
To federal agencies, state and local governments, nonprofits, educational agencies, and community development organizations.
We're educational.
Steve, you've got a nonprofit.
Absolutely, Max Fund.
Max Fund.
Yeah, have a lighthouse. Lighthouse, absolutely.
While four other lighthouses will be auctioned off to members of the public, maintenance of and access to these lighthouses are two challenges that interested groups of people should consider when attempting to take over these architectural treasures.
So one of the great lighthouses is the Montauk Lighthouse, Kathy. Yeah. You've been out to it, right?
Oh, my gosh. It's like a standard. You have to go amazing. See it.
There's a Cape May Lighthouse.
That's Cape May as well, yes. And the very remote ones, too, that are, the classics. You've seen that classic shot. I think it's of the coast of France where the wave is absolutely enveloping the lighthouse.
And there's a guy at the door.
Uh-huh.
That one blows me away.
Close that door.
Oh, yeah, shut that door. Anyone want to shut that door?
You can walk up the one in Cape May. I think it's like $5 or $10 or whatever. And the last time I did it, there was a very active bee's nest about halfway up right outside one of the windows.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and so they were like, and when you get to this point, just keep walking. Don't stop.
La-di-da-di-da.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They didn't.
La-di-da-di-da. Bees!
They didn't decide to close the attraction?
I think they just were going to let it go. And yeah, I mean,
I hope you're not allergic or nothing. Enjoy your ascent.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. We also got a puma on the top there. Might kill you.
If you're interested in getting one of these, you need to do a search on the General Service Administration and find out if you qualify for a free lighthouse.
So
I don't know where they are, though.
I've also been fascinated. Lighthouse is more because, obviously, the view into you down by the water. But I've also been fascinated with the concept of the missile silo and those subterranean things that actually come up for sale now and then.
All right, these are in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Maine, and there's one in Pennsylvania on Lake Erie.
Erie Harbor North Pier Light in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
Wow, yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
I've never been to Erie. Have any of you guys ever been to Erie?
No, my friend went to Minnesota.
You know the joke. I have a cousin who lives in Pennsylvania. Erie? Yeah, he is kind of strange.
So anyhow, there's a lighthouse.
Oh, we're looking at a picture of it.
Cool.
Erie,
it's pretty.
Yeah, it's a little smaller.
Foxy. I like that.
Yeah. It's a shower, not a grower.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Anyhow, that's it.
That's it.
I've done stream.
I'm
done stream. I've done stream.
He's done stream.
As participle.
Good morning to be seen.
No.
It's good to see you.
Good morning.
No, good morning to see you.
Good morning to see you.
I like I've done stream.
Yes.
I like lamp.
All right. We should take a break, and we should give something away. Which one of these should I give?
Yeah, that one, because there's more of them.
Okay, there's more of them.
Hey, why don't you include a lighthouse?
We have passes to see Transformers Rise of the Beast, which is on the 5th at 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia.
Freaking crazy.
And we'll take callers 10, 11, and 12, and we will give you passes to this movie, 215-263. WMMR is the number, and it's in theaters on June 9th. So if you would like to go on June 5th to UA King of Prussia, Callers 10, 11, 12 will set you up. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. We are scheduled to have Eleanor Kerrigan, who's going to be at Philly Punchline Philly tonight here in the studio. So we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Don't you hate it when some jerk on the radio says, "Hey, Alexa, open MMR." Did it work? No? Okay, well, maybe, "Hey, Alexa, wake me up to WMMR every day at 6 a.m. And if that didn't work, just know that you can do that anytime yourself. You're welcome.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And coming soon to OnlyFans. I'm kidding.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Hey, if your windows won't open to let in the fresh spring air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, you need to call Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, you can save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is not only performing at Punchline tonight, but she's a South Philly native. And she's here in our studio. She's got it together, folks. Yeah. Eleanor Kerrigan is here. Hi, Eleanor.
I clapped for myself.
That's okay. You got it.
Oh, we're clapping? We're awake. We're here.
You came walking in. Casey's like, she's a little frazzled.
It's okay. It's who I am.
It is?
I'm always, in the morning, I'm frazzled. I'm not a morning person, but I'm here. I got it.
You're doing damn good.
And I'm glad you said I was from South Philly because I wear it on my shirt, made in South Philly, in case I forget. And every time I wear it, my mom goes, "Made in South Philly? How do you know?"
Yeah.
Whoa. Could have been Wildwood.
It probably was, right?
Possibly.
And it permeates all through your material. You're proud of your upbringing here. You know this area. You're dyed in the wool.
Yeah. Proud. Yeah. Okay.
We'll go with proud. Perhaps.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you did something. You moved out to L.A. How old were you when you moved out? And you were waitressing at the Comedy Store.
I just woke up. You're asking me how old I am.
We've been up and going.
I don't even know where I'm at. I moved when I was like 21.
Okay.
Just about 21.
That's kind of a bold move.
Was it absolutely.
Was it an active chase the dream move to California?
Yeah, but I wanted to be an actress big time. And I got a job at the Comedy Store in L.A. And I had no interest in doing comedy at all. And then I'm working there and we're in the kitchen joking and I'm always roasting people because that's what I'm used to.
Right.
You grew up in South Philly, I'm always getting picked on. My brother's torch. I have six brothers, three sisters. They're animals. Yeah. And so I just went out fighting and they loved it. They're like, you're a comic. Why aren't you? And then
But you had a hard time processing that, right? Like you're saying, really, really?
Yeah, I was like, nah, that's not true. I'm not a stand-up. I'm an actress. I'm going to be Meryl Streep. And they're like, yeah, whatever, lady. And then I became a wrestler. And that's usually the trajectory out there.
A wrestler? Yes, yeah.
Yeah, WOW Women of Wrestling.
No.
Oh, you were in WOW?
Yeah, I was a WOW girl. I was Easy Rider. You got a problem? I'll drop kick you from here.
Wow.
Who's got beef?
I think that's so cool.
My mom's like, you went from street fighting to fighting on TV. Great. I'm so proud of you. She hated it. Because when I first called her to tell her, I go, Mom, I'm going to take this wrestling show. And she goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I go, really? And then I go, that's awesome. I go, Mom, I'm going to call you when I get to a landline. Because it was like 2000, right, so it wasn't great. And when I got home, I called her. I go, hey, my sister Karen answered. She goes, yo, you're going to be on West Wing?
Oh my God.
I go, she told everybody. Oh, she was outside telling the neighbors. So I had to tell everybody, I'm not going to be with Martin Sheen. I'm going to have a woman with a mullet and a sleeper hold. And then by week three, she was like, yo, your kicks are off. You got to get it together.
I love this stuff.
That
I love
great.
Wow. I love Glow.
There
I
am. Get beat
stuff.
Up.
So did you have any physical, I mean, besides having, you know, nine siblings, did you have any other form of fight training or performance?
Oh, no, just in the street, but not training, per se. A normal, look at this, watch this flip. That's killer right there.
Yeah, we're watching video.
I'll tell you what,
Eleanor actually
in the ring, kicking ass.
Oh, yeah. I get beat up all the time. My mom's like, do you ever win?
No, it's okay.
I've witnessed, like, an actual woman street fight, but and it is, it's, no. Oh, it's terrifying.
It is because
like a switch gets turned off.
Sure,
where you don't care if it ends in murder.
Sure, and your ears are hot, and you're just like,
and then like people are trying to tear you apart of, you will not let go of her hair. And
it's the hair.
Uh huh.
It is.
I'm not
the
a hair puller. I don't like the hair pulling.
Good for you.
When women fight, it's a clinch up is what happens. Is because you kind of try to immobilize each other by grabbing the hair.
It's weird because one of the fights that we used to wrestle them at the Forum in Inglewood, where the Lakers used to play.
Really?
So, like, we were training.
Yeah.
This was right before they went to the Staples Center. And so, like, we'd be training, and the Sparks were there. Michael Cooper was their coach. So I'd be training with, like, Lisa Leslie. I was like, this is amazing. Like, it was so exciting. But I was fighting, and the girl was calling the moves. And I didn't know. She was our trainer. She was putting everybody together. So she goes, I'm going to call the moves. I go, all right. I don't know what she's doing. She's in my ear. She's got a real Southern accent. She's like, okay, reverse it. And I'm like, I had a hairline fracture in my collarbone.
Oh, man.
I fell back. I hit some pyro. I cut my head.
Whoa. Jeez.
She went to hit me with a chair, and I went to the street, and I went to grab it. And I was like, no, that's not what you do. And I broke my pinky.
It was
brutal.
Legit. Yeah.
It was brutal.
So, but I mean, that I'll say this, and we've had you know, all the top wrestlers come through the WWE. And,
yeah, I know. I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of the top wrestlers.
But, I mean, it's good training for being in front of an audience and losing. I mean, that's why you have these guys, John Cena and Dwayne Johnson.
Sure.
And they're killing it.
I know. I'm doing Chris Jericho's cruise in January.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Hey, so back to comedy. Was since you were working at the Comedy Store and they there were saying you need to do this, was your first set ever at the Comedy Store then?
It wasn't my very first set. I was a little nervous to go there because to me that's top of the line. Worked there for 12 years.
Yeah.
So to come back a year later as a comic, that's mental illness. I don't know if you're aware.
Okay.
But I did it. And so when I came back, I did 3 other spots at this little place in Santa Monica, and then I called the owner and asked her if it was okay.
It's really cool.
I had such respect for. Also, my second ex-fiance is Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
I make a lot of mistakes. And people are like, why'd you guys break up? You get along so well. I'm like, I regain consciousness. And now. but we still tour together. We're still really good friends.
Oh, really?
So,
We had him in here, and he, let me tell you something.
He's out of control.
He was a phenomenon, and still, to see him move into acting... And to be so good in a couple of roles. And I remember him on the series Crime Story. He was terrific.
Oh, wow, that's great. I mean, that's his first thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, is still the actress thing in your potential?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I keep auditioning and they keep saying no, but I'm going to get them to say yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome because now, like, with doing stand-up, people love, like, coming to watch me. So they're offering me more stuff. Which is great.
Your stuff is great. I mean,
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's just very funny. And I can see why, like, you know, Bill Burr is a fan. And a lot, you have a lot of you know, the revered class there.
Billy put me on Comedy Central. I love him.
Yeah. I mean, so it's cool. So with all that going on, you spent, and you talked about the trepidation about getting up on stage at the Comedy Store. You waited on a lot of these, right?
Sure.
Who are some of the comedic luminaries you might have waited on during those years?
Well, I didn't wait on. I mean, we would hang out.
You know,
comics are trash. They don't really, you know, they go right to the bar.
It's kind of true.
So I didn't wait on. But, like, my closest friends were, like, Dom Irrera.
Yeah,
you know?
We love Dom.
Dom's the greatest, one of my best friends. These were my first friends. Joe Rogan, when I went to L.A., Freddie Soto. All these guys, comics, were working every night, so...
Dom,
this is all I know.
Dom is funny because he did a set for us for our charity thing we do every year called the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah. She was there.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Was I on it or was it?
No.
Thanks, guys.
Well, no. Here's the deal. You were in town because it was around Thanksgiving, so you were home for Thanksgiving and you showed up.
Yeah.
And
he was sure he didn't do well, and he did very well. But he's very self-critical, which
Dom's always funny, but yeah, comics are very self-deprecating, and like we just never feel like we're good enough. Like right now, I know.
You're doing fine.
I'm thank God this is, you know, radio, because if you saw my face, it looks like my kidnapper did my makeup, and it's not good. It's not good.
You're doing fine.
I don't do well this early, but I'm up. I'm here, guys. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
I wanted to ask you.
Am I standing?
Yeah, you are.
Yes, you are.
My wife is the youngest of nine, so you're a family of 10.
Ugh.
And
she's
so,
the baby?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So what happens is...
The worst one.
And then her my sister-in-law has nine as well. So,
shush.
Yeah, so...
That's like my mom's family.
Right. But it's funny because it almost becomes... It's like if you bought a Walmart and you gave birth to the workers yourself, because they all sort of take over. Like they all
take... Did he just call my mother shooter as Walmart? Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? They start
to take
care...
She has a person who welcomes you.
They start to take care of each other. Like the parents
come
have
on
to...
Out.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Sure, the younger half
like
takes
a
care of
staff.
The older half.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where do you fall in the pecking order there?
I'm number 8. I'm at the bottom.
Oh, all right. Wow. So you were taken care of.
Yeah. My dad wanted 12 kids. And then after 10, he was like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
So he left. And
yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
He was a Marine?
I mean, I can because he didn't pull out. But yeah. No. I blame him. Did I say something bad? I'm sorry.
No, yes,
you're sorry. What do you guys live in a row home? Is it South Philly? Okay.
A little South Philly row home.
Were you guys crammed into it with 10 people?
100%. Yeah, I had to share a room with my brothers. I always joke about this, but there were 7 of us in one room.
Dear. Wow.
My mom always says, don't tell people that. And go, I'm outing you, lady. I'm outing you. Yeah.
You didn't know any different, sleepover. Though.
No, we couldn't have that. We did have sleepovers, though. This is the weird part. Because my brother Jimmy, he would always have his friends, and they would sleep downstairs. Like, just you wake up and you'd have to, like, step over people to get out.
Wow.
The worst part was they always used to eat my mom's lunch because they were a little older, so who knows if they were drinking or whatever, but they were just up late, and they would always, she'd go to work like, damn kids. Why'd I keep them all? Why'd I do it?
There could have been, it could have made some cuts. Right?
Yeah. There could have been a lot of cuts. I gotta be honest.
Your dad sold typewriters.
Yeah, it's hard to remember because it's so long.
Yeah, typewriters, and you worked in that from fourth grade to your senior year in high school?
We all had to.
You all had to work in the typewriter store.
I don't know if it was
store.
A punishment or it was more like, for my mom's sake, keeping us off the street.
Right.
So it was like, if we went to the typewriter store after school, yeah, we were bored to tears, but we were inside doing, we weren't out on the street. While my mom was working, making... real money and actual money. God love my dad. He loved making typewriters. You know,
he made them.
I mean, I'm sorry, fixing typewriters. Okay, that was his passion. You know, it was his father's business. It was just going under, and I'm like, Dad, you got to get into computers. And he's like, computers are only a phase, girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, no. Sleeping with women in college, that was a phase.
That's a phase.
I'm kidding. I didn't go to college.
Are your typing skills pretty on point?
Pretty terrible. Just
really?
Like my dad. One finger.
Hunt and peck?
What was weird, my mom, a couple months ago, less than a month ago, I was home, and I took her to her high school sorority. They still get together once a month. How cute. 85 years old.
High school sorority?
I'll bite their faces. They're so cute.
Okay.
And they're the nicest ladies. And I went, and one of her best friend's husband was like, hey, can you help us with the typewriter? I'm like, is this a joke? Yeah. Are you punking me right now? And she types up labels on a typewriter.
Wow.
But it was electric, and there's really not a lot of parts for that. That was like a newer, like the word processor.
I remember.
So I took it to this typewriter store on, there's still one on Passyunk Avenue. and it's really awesome.
They've got to control the area, right? I mean, how many competitors?
They know my dad. He's like, we want to make a thing for your dad. I'm like, he's not a hero, really, wow. But I like that.
There's a typewriter shop that Tom Hanks likes in Philadelphia because he collects them. Is that the same place, you think?
My dad, Tom Hanks' people went to my dad and asked if they could buy a certain typewriter. Uh-huh. And my dad was like, no, I'm not selling that. And I'm like, man, we're starving. Can you please?
Oh my God.
And he wouldn't sell it. I'm like, dude. Don't even sell it to him. Can you just tell him you got a daughter in L.A. that's trying?
Yeah.
He can't hook me up?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, my dad was like, I don't know who that is, girl. Like, if it's not John Wayne, he don't know who it is.
Oh, my God. So, real quick, where did your mom go to high school?
Hallahan.
Okay, I wasn't sure if she was, like, a West Coast. Because my mom's
Hallahan friends... girls are... It's so cute. Tighter. Like, I'm a Goretti gorilla, and I remember a lot of the girls, but we don't, like, still hang out.
You don't? Well, yeah, because there's a bunch of old ladies that get together at some place in, like, Tinicum, and they're old burrs from West Catholic, and I didn't know they had sororities in high school.
I didn't either, but my mom's been doing it since we're kids. So, and obviously.
When you come to the area and play, you've got to have legions of people that are you're tangentially connected to, right?
Certainly better. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, some of them don't like me because of the street fighting, but some of them, no, I'm just kidding. We're still good friends. It's funny. Like, we're getting together on Saturday. This is going to sound weird, but my little brother put together a taps tournament. You know, basketball, tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we sign up and we're all playing on Saturday.
Wow, man.
The whole neighborhood's coming out.
That's awesome.
So it's day drinking for adults, but yes.
Oh, we're familiar. We just had an event on Friday where we open up, Keenan's down at the Jersey Shore.
Oh, the best.
So
much fun.
We do a live broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. That's round the clock drinking. That's a good time.
Were you ashore? Would you go down to the shore a lot or no?
Not as much as my older sister. She was like famous in Sea Isle because she was a singer, Kathleen Kerrigan. Everybody loves
her. Really?
Yeah. She was always singing. And one time I took Dom Irera to see her, and he goes, whoa, the lower she gets, the louder her voice gets, the higher her voice gets. It was so great. But, Sea Isle was her thing. Wildwood was our, we hung out Wildwood. We were the younger. I guess that was too kiddy for her. So she's like, that's the kids stuff. But I love Wildwood. We were just last year. We were at Keenan's. We did the whole, that little area just doing all me and my brothers. We got really drunk with my cousins who also have 10 kids.
Oh, my God.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
But dang, so
we had a family kind of reunion thing where we went and almost got kicked out of Wildwood.
All right. You, any kids or no?
No. I never.
No.
I'm old school.
Yeah.
I even think I'll throw myself down the steps. That's too early, Eleanor. Too early. God bless people with kids. I can't do it. Responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah, you came out of the epitome of it all. I mean, just that big of a family.
I thought we were going to bring up the Walmart womb again.
Oh, my God.
You did.
This is weird.
You came out of that Walmart
womb. Big womb, yeah.
Came running out. Hey, corporate.
So I can see why, you might have some opinions on maybe that's not for me.
It's weird because five of us had kids, five of us didn't.
Okay.
So,
it's the same thing. We don't have kids. My wife and I, and she was the youngest of nine, and her sister has nine. But and we love, and they do people right. They make good humans.
We learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, right.
We're shutting the footprint down. We're trying.
Try to end that family line, but you can't. I mean, you'll be going on for years and years and years.
Yeah, I have a lot of nieces and nephews that I torture.
Have you ever had a relative come out to the show that you couldn't recognize or didn't remember?
A million times.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're cousins from blah, 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 blah. Of course we are. Yeah. I think I'm related to anybody that's Irish. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
We're just all one big cesspool. It's great.
That's great.
So you're doing just one night tonight? So you're only
tonight.
In town for, when did you get in town?
Well, I'm here all week. I come just to get more material from my mother. And she's out of control.
So she does for you?
Out of control.
Oh, my God.
How old is she?
85.
Wow. What's the latest on mom?
She's good. She's just a little nutty butters. But I don't know if I should say this on air, but it was funny. A couple weeks ago, sorry, I'm so excited. I'm spitting. And we were watching the Sixers. They were alive. And Sixers Celtics, and it came down to a buzzer beater, right? And then James Harden brought that young kid out that was in the Michigan, and he was like, I want to say I played it for him. And then he signed his sneakers, and he was like, my mom goes, that's the worst gift I've ever seen. I go, Ma, how'd you ruin that moment? She goes, Eleanor, he can't walk.
Yeah.
Kid was in a wheelchair. I was like, Mom.
It's kind of right, though.
Yeah.
She's not wrong, right, but, yeah, but
well, it's not like he's going to wear them.
Exactly.
You know, even if he could, like...
You, who would? That, who has that size foot? Yeah. One.
Right.
That's a classic mom thing. It was so genuine.
Yeah. But I was so mad that it was just me and her. Where is everybody?
Yes.
Because that's what she does. It's just this constant, like these new little, just I can't write it fast enough as she's saying it.
When you were younger and dating with that many brothers, was that problematic?
Naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People would come. People would be like, I'll meet you.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'd have to tell, like, my mom or a sister, like, hey, I'm going to meet this guy.
Yeah. But
it's far away. If it got so bad, I moved to L.A. No.
I
can't catch me out here, guys. Then I was just whatever I wanted.
Who all still lives in Philly?
Everybody. For the most part, everybody, except for my nephew, who's still, he's playing for a minor league ball club in Chicago. He was playing for the Twins.
Whoa.
And then they cut him. Little Jimmy Kerrigan, I still call him Little. He's not Little.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He just hit a grand slam the other night. It was very exciting.
Wow. Nice.
But he's playing in Chicago for the Kane County Cougars. So he was playing for the Twins. They cut him. And then it was just, it's such a political, it's crazy, that whole,
it's tough,
in the minor leagues.
Sure.
It's insane. And he was killing it. He was coming up, but then they cut rosters and pandemic and all that, so he's loving it playing, and he's doing great. There he is. That's my little baby.
Oh yeah,
so cute.
Oh,
wow. Jimmy Wiggles, we call him.
Jimmy Wiggles,
because he can wiggle his ears.
Oh, okay. Do his teammates know that?
I think it's on his thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just such a silly thing.
You're not related to Joe Kerrigan, are you?
No, but wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
But I do have his a baseball card, because I used to tell people he was my cousin when I was little.
Yeah.
I was like, see, last thing,
man.
We could be.
Yeah, you don't know.
We lost track. A lot of people, the ones I meet the most are the Kerrigan side, because they like spread out and then they stop talking to each other. There's a lot of them too. So they lost, like my dad's dad had a lot of brothers and sisters, so they lost contact.
Would you ever do a 23andMe kind of thing? Because you're probably a Genghis Khan story.
I got to swab my cheek and see what's in there. Yeah. See what's going on. I got to check some stuff out.
Be a lot of info.
Find out.
Well, listen, we're happy that you stopped by this morning.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And we're reminding everybody that your gig is tonight and tonight only.
One night.
At Punchline. 8 o'clock, and you can get tickets at punchlinephilly.com, so make sure that you do that. But we hope you have a great show while you're in town.
Thank
back
you.
Home. It's nice to
love
see
it.
You.
I love being here. I'm home every 2 weeks now, so I got to start doing more shows in town.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I do them in, like, you know, all around, whatever, but like more in Philly.
Right. Well, you're hilarious.
Thank you. So I love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Eleanor Kerrigan, guys. Punchline. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. Metallica. Larkin Poe.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by CSB Media Arts Center. You can train for a career in broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, and filmmaking at CSB Media Arts Center. That's in Cherry Hill. GoCSB.com. That's GoCSB.com. So I told you this is going to be the Twinsies.
Yes.
Bizarre File. So every story has a companion story to it. I'll start with two stories about people falling overboard.
I love this.
A 35-year-old man aboard a Carnival cruise ship fell overboard Monday off the Florida coast, and the Coast Guard said in a tweet that crews were searching for a passenger who went overboard on the Carnival Magic Vessel around 186 miles east of Jacksonville, Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah, as of Tuesday afternoon, the Coast Guard said it had searched 4,044 square miles over 19 hours, adding that it will continue to search with air assets. Security video shows a man leaning over the railing of his balcony and falling into the water at 4:10 a.m. on Monday. On late Monday afternoon, his companion reported him missing. According to a GoFundMe created by Jenny Lynn Blazer, the 35-year-old man is Ronnie Lee Pale Jr., her partner, and said that it was his first cruise. Ooh.
There's a, you know what? We don't hear about this, but it's one of the big secrets of the cruise industry. How many people fall overboard every year?
Here's another one for you. A teenager baseball star jumped off a Bahamas cruise ship as a dare in a video shared just days after the U.S. Coast Guard called off the search. Video shows Cameron Robbins, 18 years old, from Louisiana, jumping overboard without a life jacket as his fellow classmates urged him on.
What?
The teenager, who had just graduated days ago from the University Laboratory School in Baton Rouge, was seen just his swimming trunks before suddenly disappearing. Passengers on board were stunned that Cameron had jumped off. Concerns quickly grew for the teenager as one person shouted, "Grab the buoy, grab the buoy." Cameron, who was just a few feet away from the cruise, started drifting in the opposite direction away from the buoy before disappearing into darkness. U.S. Coast Guard were dispatched to look for the missing teenager on Wednesday, but late Friday, the search was officially called off.
Was this an ocean liner, or was it a... What kind of ship was this?
It says U.S. It was a Bahamas cruise ship. So it's a cruise ship.
Yeah, you hit the water, you know, if you're up on a higher deck.
Well, and not only that, by the time you get and report to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're well behind you.
They're gone.
No, he was fine. You see him swimming. What's crazy is at one point you feel like you see maybe a shark swimming in there as well.
Oh, my gosh. And it was at night?
It was at night.
Oh,
it was just, yeah.
Everything wrong.
And a Coast Guard official said, "We were informed that they were suspending the active search efforts pending further developments." A GoFundMe page has been set up by the teenager's family, who are going through an unimaginable situation. So they're counting him as gone.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Sucks.
All right. Something lighter. Two stories involving cheese.
Cheese. Bye.
Greater Victoria Crime Stoppers is looking for the charcuterie lover who stole a $600 wheel of Gouda. Whoever is behind the cheesy caper should, quote, get yourself out of the pickle you are currently in and visit the police station to clear the matter up, according to the police.
$600 for stuff can get pricey.
They said, "We must be crackers, though, if we think you're going to. So we are asking our fabulous followers to help out. If you know who our charcuterie lover is, please tell us. You will remain anonymous, of course, and they won't." Here's the other story involving cheese.
Yeah.
A woman was knocked unconscious while running down a hill to chase a 7-pound cheese wheel, but still managed to win her race at the bank holiday event.
Video- I've seen these things.
Oh, yeah. It's been going on for ages in England. Video footage posted on social media shows Delaney Irving falling while pursuing the double Gloucester down almost vertical Cooper's Hill in Brockworth. Irving said she only realized that she had won the women's race when she woke up in the medical tent. Ah! Hundreds of people took part in the contest, which went ahead of the year this year despite safety concerns. Irving from Vancouver Island, Canada, told the BBC she was not cheesed off by what had happened.
Oh, Jesus.
And I know. And said the race was good now that I remember.
It was good.
She said, "I remember running, then bumping my head, and then I woke up in the tent, and I still don't really believe it, but it feels great." And the video, you see her just hit the ground,
yeah,
and she is out cold. But she rolls across the finish line before anybody else, even though she's out cold.
Have you ever ran down a hill like that?
When I was a kid, maybe, but it's crazy. There is a special on, I think it was on Netflix, called We Are Champions.
Yes.
And they cover this extensively. It takes weird things like, you know, yo-yo competitions.
Pianos that they run down the, they'll take pianos and go down a mountain. Well, they're playing. Have you ever seen that? Like a hill?
No. Yeah, yeah. But on this show called We Are Champions, they take, like, you know, pepper eating contests and stuff like that. But they covered this extensively, and it's crazy. People get hurt very, very badly.
I just saw yesterday on Instagram these people, as they're running through a park, they're just jogging. These people are in a band. They start chasing them, playing Chariots of Fire as they're running behind them.
That's great.
It's hilarious.
All right, and then I have two
kayak.
Oh, it's kayak.
Okay. Yes, it's hard to pronounce.
Jackie can't pronounce kayak.
Yeah.
All right, burglars with kayaks and wearing wetsuits broke into a home on Yarrow Point early Thursday morning. Problem is, I don't know where this is. I don't know what
it's a Yarrow Point.
I don't know where the... No, Yarrow Point.
Yarrow Point.
At about 3:38 a.m., the burglars forced entry into the back glass door of a home. Yarrow Point is north of Bellevue along Lake Washington.
Oh, it's near Clyde Hill.
The home was occupied at the time.
It's outside of Jakeford.
According to police, the burglars stole approximately $20,000 in cash from an unsecured safe and escaped on kayaks.
An escape on a kayak?
Paddling toward Kirkland. The police...
We'll never get him now.
...believe the suspects may have attempted to burglarize two other homes earlier that morning with their kayakis.
Keep the kayak running.
And then finally, a family was rescued after their kayaks capsized in San Francisco Bay on Memorial Day. The family, made up of two adults and two children, were pulled from the bay just off Hunter's Point.
I would never kayak in that bay. The currents, everything, sharks, it's horrible.
After their kayaks overturned, U.S. Coast Guard assisted in the rescue. Authorities said that two adults were evaluated at the scene and did not require hospitalization. However, the two children were taken to a local hospital for hypothermia. They are expected to be okay.
Aren't there signs clearly posted that say no kayaking?
Fire officials don't know how the kayaks capsized, but they said that the San Francisco Bay was choppy and windy on Monday. And so they didn't make it out. Well, they got them out, but they didn't make it unscathed. By the way, I have more twin stories, which...
Really?
Yeah, we'll have
I like this new concept.
Tomorrow morning, I didn't get a chance to get to all of them. All right, that's it in the B-File. We have a couple of guests who are here in our studio. Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Awesome.
It's amazing. And they do great things, always have, and continue to do great things. I don't think we've ever spoken to someone who was a recipient of a wish before.
Yes.
And we're happy to have them in this morning, along with the Director of Marketing and Communications for... the makeawish.org website. Please welcome, first of all, the director. Michelle Rule is here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And the recipient of a wish is Leanne Purcell.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Nick set this interview up. What got you going on this, Nick?
So Make-A-Wish helped my nephew Luke, and Luke is in remission from leukemia. He's doing really well, and I've done a lot of work with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society over the years, and then Luke actually got to make a wish, which is really cool. So they he aimed kind of low, and we're going to hear Leanne's story. Luke, all Luke wanted was a new bedroom. And so Make-A-Wish and Virginia came in and they gave him a brand new bedroom and painted the walls and new furniture, the whole nine, which was awesome. And I've been chatting with Michelle from Make-A-Wish here locally in Philadelphia for a while. And she told me about Leanne's story. And Leanne aimed high and she got herself a great wish. So we want to hear her story.
Before we hear the wish, what was your medical condition? Because it was looking bad for you.
Yes, I had a liver transplant. I had something called Wilson's disease.
Wilson's disease.
Yes.
All right. And you went into complete liver failure, right?
Correct.
Okay. How old were you at the time?
I was 17.
Okay.
17, okay.
And this came out of nowhere, right?
Correct.
All of a sudden, you had jaundice. You were looking yellow, and you got kind of bloated, right?
Yes, I was typical high school senior about to start school, and then out of the blue, my stomach blew up. My skin started to get yellow. Went to the ER, and then I stayed there for the next 4 months.
Oh my gosh!
Wow.
Yeah. So within the span of a week.
And did I read correctly that your best friend offered up 40% of her liver to you?
My hero, Megan. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
And what happened with that?
Yeah, so I was placed status 1A on the transplant list, so within a week of it being admitted. And so basically that means you have a week or less to live. So that's reserved for worst of the worst. So whole family got tested. No one was a match. And Megan knew that she was the right blood type, all that. There's a lot that goes into it, and she kind of bypassed my family and said, I want to get tested. I know I'm a perfect match, and then she was.
That's amazing.
So you have her liver?
I have her liver, right? So weird, but so cool.
Are you guys still friends?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Selena Gomez broke up with her friend who gave her a kidney, so it can happen, yeah.
So, but it was rejected, wasn't it?
Correct, yes. So, everything that could have went wrong within the first month. My body rejected it, and then I was resistant to the treatment that they used. So I had this really crazy treatment, was in the ICU for another couple weeks. So I ended up staying about 4 months.
Wow.
Well, so what happens? Yeah. It rejected. Did you need another one?
No. So, yeah. So your body, like, views the new organ as foreign. So it's there's a high risk that you can develop rejection at any point in time, but especially right after. So, yeah, it was immediately after.
Did they have to remove that portion?
No.
No.
So I had this crazy treatment that killed off my whole immune system, basically.
Whoa.
And then, yeah. So I still have the same liver.
Okay, but is your immune system not intact any longer?
No, I'm good now. The first couple of years was tough, especially I started college the next year. So naturally got very sick all the time. But yeah, now I'm good.
And your health is good.
Once COVID came around, everybody was wearing masks. Yeah. You were like,
I started that trend.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I didn't go to high school with a mask. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, so at what point did Make-A-Wish come into the equation here?
Yeah, so then I ended up getting discharged day before Thanksgiving, and I got home. There was an envelope on my kitchen counter and had the Make-A-Wish logo on it, and I was like, Dad, what is this? And he was like, I have no idea. Just open it. And I had to read it like 5 times to be like, wait, what? I didn't know much about Make-A-Wish. I thought it was, you know, reserved for kids that weren't going to make it. So had to read it a couple of times. And then within the span of a couple weeks, volunteers started coming in. They told me I could literally go anywhere, have anything, meet anyone. So after a couple weeks, I decided that I wanted to go to Greece. So I really shot far above the stars.
So bedroom furniture.
I was like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go as far away as possible.
No, that's, you raise a good point, too. It's for kids that go through the trauma of what you went through, it need not be a story that ends in, you know, there's no hope and we're giving the last.
Exactly.
Because that's traumatic as well, obviously, what you went through. So.
Yeah.
And I could see why you'd be confused, like, wait, they do this as well, but they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle, I'd always thought that as well, that it was, for lack of a better term, terminal kids for Make-A-Wish. But what are the parameters?
So it is just a child who's diagnosed with a critical illness.
Okay.
So anybody can refer anybody for a wish. Wish.org/referrals will give you more information about that if you believe you have a child with a critical illness. We have an awesome person who does referrals and is able to go through all those forms, and we get, you know, doctor's forms and medical, and that's kind of how the journey begins, is seeing if you qualify for a wish. But yep, about 83% in total of kids who get a wish live on to live long, healthy lives. So
that's wonderful.
The impact that this has is for a lifetime. You know, Leanne is sitting right here to, you know, tell you that.
And this got started with a young boy who wanted to be with a police officer, I think, right?
Christopher, yep. So it was 43 years ago now. So Christopher was 7 years old. He had leukemia. He lived out in Arizona. His mom, Linda, actually just came to one of our events a few weeks ago. And so when he got diagnosed with leukemia, they kind of gave him a 3 to 4 year lifespan. So they decided to just kind of live life. And he knew he was within his final days. The doctors kind of told them. And so the mom reached out to a friend who was part of the police department, and they let Christopher ride in a helicopter and go on motorcycles. And it was the best day. And his mom said that for as sick as he was, that day gave him this hope and joy and just let him live a life. And this police uniform that you guys can see there. So they had that special made for him.
Pictures of him.
Yep. And so they made sure that he had the full experience. So after his funeral, that group of 7 came together with just about $34 and started Make-A-Wish.
It's amazing.
How many wishes do you guys grant a year?
So our goal this year is to grant 330 wishes within our chapter. So our chapter is Philadelphia, Delaware, and the Susquehanna Valley. Right now we're at over 200.
Okay.
So Leanne said it said she could go anywhere, meet anybody. I mean, there's got to be a wish that somebody has wished for that you couldn't do. Like, what do you do if it's something you just can't accomplish?
We try to make the best. So every wish falls into one of 5 categories. I wish to go, I wish to meet, I wish to have, I wish to give, or I wish to be. I wish to meet. There are some celebrities who don't grant wishes. So maybe there's a different way you can do the wish where the person is still there, but you don't get a direct interaction with them.
Could the wish be to go to this person's house and egg it?
I've never heard of that, but okay. You never know.
Because that's what I was thinking was more the celebrities. Like there's got to be people that, you know, you just can't get to. And so, you know, what do you do if there's a little kid who says they want to meet, you know, so-and-so and you can't make it happen?
Yeah, sometimes it's, can you go to their concert and get a great experience? So there's all different things.
Right, okay.
Michelle, Michelle, one of my favorite recent ones was Pedro Pascal. The guy is just, he can do no wrong. I love him to death. And so Make-A-Wish Philadelphia. And by the way, we should emphasize this, that it is a national organization, but what we're trying to highlight here is what the local chapter does and what it did, what they did for Leanne. But tell about the kid that got to meet Pedro Pascal.
Yes. So Kaylee, so she went and she was so overwhelmed with emotion when she met him. She started to cry and he spent time with her and stayed back and like really made sure that she was okay. And so a wish to me isn't just, you know, sometimes a quick interaction, like the impact it has is something that will last her a lifetime. Well,
John Cena's raised that to an art form. He's, I think he is the most requested and most delivered on Make-A-Wish supporter, correct?
Yes, he has granted more wishes, I believe, than anybody else. He will grant wishes at almost any event, and he is a huge supporter.
That's awesome. Who's up there in that realm? I talk about like Pedro Pascal and other celebrities who have participated.
So we've had Miley Cyrus. We've had different sports, you know, celebrities too. So people have their favorite sports people, and they want to meet them. And so that's kind of another great, especially in this city, something we get to make happen.
Sure. I just can't imagine that there's anyone who's not moved by this at any level.
Oh, my God.
You know?
I'm getting teary-eyed while we're talking about it here. So I want to meet. I want to be. I want to go.
I
wish to have and I wish to give.
Yes.
What's the wish to give? What's that?
So those are those who wish to give back in some way. So we've had people who have fed the homeless. We've had people who have given chairs to the oncology floor.
I'm really going
to
cry. Oh, my God.
We've had people give lung pillows. We have one coming up to help a shelter. So, yeah, they're kind of all different. We have one that wants to start their own foundation to support families during their cancer treatments in different ways. So I wish to give is kind of open-ended, just like all, and we try to make those happen.
And you're saying statistically the majority do make it, and obviously there are those who don't, but I mean, what an impact something like this can give. I mean, the experience is just phenomenal.
Yeah, Leanne, how did you feel, you know, when you took the trip and came back and all that?
Yeah, it was the summer going into my freshman year of college, so it really marked like such a pivotal point in my healing journey. I was still pretty sick, but it just like turned everything around. It made me so excited for my future. I ended up starting in the nursing program, switched to pre-med, and it just like inspired me so much to just keep going at a time when I like had nothing to look forward to.
Wow.
What was the best part of Greece?
Actually, I have a couple, but in Athens, we hiked up this really huge mountain, and me and my dad were like dying, but we were like, okay, we have to get to the top. And there was a really pretty church at the top. And so we're approaching it, and me and my dad just stopped and looked at each other, and we just like both had tears in our eyes. And we were both thinking the same thing, and we just broke down because, you know, like a year prior to that, I'm the youngest of four kids, and my whole family really rallied behind me, and he was told, you know, his youngest daughter was not going to make it. So we stood at that top and just, like, sobbed and hugged each other and just,
amazing.
After your diagnosis was clear and you're doing better, were you then able to use the line, "What am I, chopped liver?" after that, or has anybody ever used
that? No, that made my day. I'm going to use that.
Thank you very much. What am I, chopped liver? Well, this is such noble work. It's so, you know, I mean, there are a thousand different ways that you can support someone who's going through a terrible thing, and they're all wonderful, but there's something extra special about what Make-A-Wish does, I think.
It is. And so we know that, you know, about the medical side, we know about the donations, we know about that, but there's the healing power of attitude, the healing power of hope, the healing power of joy is absolutely huge. And so I know from people that, you know, that I've talked to with the prostate cancer situation, which touched me personally, and to see them be encouraged, that I believe so much that helps with overall health, a positive attitude. And here you are, a living example of it. Yeah. So,
and a lot of these things, Steve, obviously take money. So there's currently the Make-A-Wish Heroes campaign. And Michelle, I know we started this a month or so ago on PrestonandSteve.com. You can contribute to the Preston and Steve team, which I guess I'm the leader of or whatever. But the campaign itself is going on for how much longer?
So
it technically ends today. It is wishheroes.org, but it does extend beyond that. So any gift is going to be used right here in our community. So that's the way Make-A-Wish is set up, is that by giving to Make-A-Wish, Philadelphia, Delaware, and Susquehanna Valley, your money stays locally. That's the way Make-A-Wish is set up. It doesn't go nationally. We are funded locally by people just like those of you who are listening. So just know that your gift to Make-A-Wish funds a wish right here in your community, and really does make an impact. Just, you know, here's Leanne and, yes, you know, a recipient of it. So, you know, if you do, wishheroes.org, and there's a Preston and Steve page, and any amount can really help a child make this lifelong impact.
Leanne, you had your wish about 8 years ago or so. What's up in your life now? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm starting medical school in August.
That's awesome. Yeah. Where are you going to go?
PCOM, right down the road.
Oh, right across the street.
Yeah. Yeah. Come over anytime.
I will.
What do you want to do with that?
I definitely want to work with kids. I'm thinking maybe transplant, honestly, at this point.
Yeah. So wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thanks for coming by and sharing the story.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
We're happy to send people in the direction of makeawish.org to see if you can help out, or if you need to reach out, that's there as well. So thank you for coming by, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Michelle Rule and Leanne Purcell. Yes. Make a Wish. What a great group of people. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Threw out all your radios for a fancy speaker that talks back to you? Well, don't forget, you can still listen to us by saying Open MMR. You can even tell it you want to wake up to MMR, just like your grandpa's clock radio used to. Imagine that.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address.
On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Hey, if your windows won't open to let in the fresh spring air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, you need to call Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, you can save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh man, I forgot to get our secret text word winner. We'll have to do that in a little while. Not yet. Not just yet. Because we're going to do another giveaway before we get into any of that. And we're going to do the lesson question. Today, we give away a pair of tickets as MMR presents Rival Sons and the Record Company with Star Crawler. It is this Saturday at Franklin Music Hall. And if you answer this question correctly, you will get some tickets. When you hump Al Pacino, it feels like you're banging what kind of bread? 215-263-WMMR. When you hump Al Pacino, it feels like you're banging what kind of bread? 215-263-WMMR. And you had to have heard that, so call only if you know the answer. We'll be doing the trash while you call.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. From cold showers to clogged drains, Horizon's highly trained expert plumbers are there when you need them with 24-hour emergency plumbing solutions. You can visit HorizonEasyBook.com. to book in 30 seconds. What's up this morning, Steve?
Well, disgraced former Theranos CEO Elizabeth Holmes arrived at a Texas prison yesterday to begin her 11-year sentence for wire fraud and conspiracy. Apparently, during her first meal at the prison, Holmes claimed to have built an artificial human brain out of dinner rolls.
Wow.
I don't think she's learning her lesson. Priscilla Presley has settled her dispute over late daughter Lisa Marie's trust fund, but is being denied her request to be buried next to ex-husband Elvis. Priscilla says that if Elvis were alive today, he would be screaming and clawing at his decaying flesh. And finally, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is speaking out after the arrest of his brother, Jackson Mahomes, for aggravated battery. Patrick and admitted that his brother is a punk-ass bitch and that he is a sniveling little pussy.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And that's your Hollywood trash.
All righty. We'll see if you do indeed know the answer to this question today. And we need to know when you hump Al Pacino, it feels, hang on, like you're banging what kind of bread? That is the question. And... like, we still are not, I'm not seeing anything up on this monitor here, so I don't know who I'm going to. I don't know.
It's the feature. It's the Anonymizer 5000, Preston.
They want to talk about, so I'll just go to this caller. Hi, caller, who is this?
Is it me?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Ryan.
I'm sorry, what's your name, bud?
Ryan.
All right, Brian, do me a favor. Answer this question. When you hump Al Pacino, it feels like you're banging what kind of bread?
Is it halal?
Holla bread, you know,
Hello.
He's the former lead guitarist of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but no, holla bread, and that's close enough. Brian, hang on the line. We're going to set you up, bud. You just got yourself some tickets to see Rival Sons and the Record Company with Starcrawler this Saturday, June 3rd, Franklin Music Hall. Tickets are on sale now via AXS.com. Text concerts to 39333 for a link to the MMR concert calendar and complete details. By the way, holla bread makes a great French toast.
It does.
Just to let you know.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
In my bedroom where my wife sleeps.
Oh, no children come and play with their toys?
I can do that.
Okay.
Where my children come and play with their toys.
Thank you. Horizon Services is our sponsor. Purchasing new heating and cooling system has never been easier. Horizon Services Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing will develop a custom solution installed the next day with no hassle financing. Book online at horizoneasybook.com. Foo Fighters have dropped The Teacher, another new song and video in advance of their upcoming album. The nearly 10-minute-long clip goes between psychedelic images and old footage that looks like it could be that of a young Dave Grohl. Their 11th album, which is called Be Here We Are, But Here We Are, not Be Here We Are, it's due out on Friday.
It could be Here We Are.
They kicked off their tour last week and will be making several festival stops, including Bonnaroo next month and Chicago's Riot Fest in September. I sent this information to Chuck D'Amico. A tribute album to honor the music of Triumph will be out later this year and will feature a host of rock stars. Heart's Nancy Wilson, Mickey Thomas of Starship, ex-Skid Row frontman Sebastian Bach, and Anthrax's Joe Belladonna.
Wait, Sebastian Bach?
Yeah. Among the artists involved.
I love Triumph.
In an interview that appeared in Blabbermouth, drummer Gil Moore said that it should be out around the third or fourth quarter this year. He said, there's so many great musicians on there, I can't even tell you how thrilled we are. Some of those include amazing drummer Kenny Arnoff, who's played with everybody from mainly John Cougar Mellencamp to a gazillion other bands. And Bon Jovi guitarist Phil X, who previously played with Triumph in 1992 and 93 when Rick Emmett left the band. Tommy Aldridge, another amazing drummer who's played with Thin Lizzy, Whitesnake, and Ozzy, and several others. Plus, Nita Strauss, longtime member of Alice Cooper's band, and has most recently been working with Demi Lovato, will be joining. The project is being produced by Mike Klink, who helmed Triumph's 1986 album, Sport of Kings. So, looking forward to hearing that. Sorry, one more time, you can say hi to Mike if you want. All right. And then... we have one other story. Kiss. Maybe I have two. Yeah, I have two other stories. So,
well, what is it?
Wait a minute.
Music newsman.
It's two more. Kiss.
Exactly.
Announced details this week for their final concert in Australia. The date is October 7th and was initiated via a national petition. The Kiss Army Australia pleaded for the show, and that's how it was booked. The band stated the end of the road will detour one last time to Sydney for a final bombastic farewell. As unexpected as this is for us, we'll make it unforgettable for all who share the night with us.
Where was the final location supposed to be prior to this?
Madison Square Garden.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so...
so now it's going to be Australia.
No. They're going to do that before.
All right, because, you'd have to finish domestically.
Yeah, they'll do that in October, and the final show, the entire tour, will take place December 2nd.
Good day.
Madison Square Garden in New York City. Throw another chicken on the barbie.
A dingo ate my chicken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, have you ever had the Alice Springs chicken at Outback?
I have not.
It is good.
The what?
Alice Springs chicken.
Okay.
Is it from Australia?
Well, it's from Outback Steakhouse. And
nothing's from Australia.
What makes it so tasty?
The ingredients.
Is it a sauce or is it a,
it's made with love.
The things that go into it?
Yeah.
What's in this food? Ingredients, you say.
Yes.
You know, the salt and the pepper.
That's the way everything should be made.
With ingredients.
With ingredients, yeah.
It's got cheese on it.
All right.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah.
Mm. How exotic.
Mm.
Alice Springs is right in the middle of Australia.
How about that?
How about that?
Oh,
that
there the must antipode? Be tons of deadly stuff there.
Yeah,
that's right. It might be, Case.
Yeah, that's what it's named after.
Alice Springs chicken.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to love it in an instant. Yeah.
It's close to the antipode of Philadelphia, is
I
it not?
I love antipode. Well done, Casey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means if you bore down a hole straight down from Philadelphia, you'll end up in this dump.
That's another way to put it.
Yep.
Is it close to the...
Yeah.
If you dug from Philadelphia?
The antipode is actually like right off the coast of Perth. It's like right over here somewhere, which is in Western Australia. I don't remember how... Like, maybe that was a stupid question one day or whatever, but I love antipodes.
Okay.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Maybe they'll have antipodes chicken at Outback Steakhouse.
It could be antipodes. Like anti.
If you're looking for good chicken, I'm your auntie Pode.
This is Pode, my auntie.
And I'm Uncle Pode. And I hate this
bitch. I made an extra sloppy Marie.
I don't know where that came from.
That's auntie Pode. All right.
Wow. Alice Springs chicken, $18.99, 770 calories.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little calorically high for chicken.
Here are the ingredients. Sauteed mushrooms, crisp bacon, melted Monterey Jack and cheddar, and honey mustard sauce.
Does not sound bad.
Two freshly made sides.
Mm. Yeah, it's great, great chicken.
Fall Out Boy's founding guitarist Joe Troman has announced that he is returning to the band after a four-month mental health break. He wrote via Instagram, "Hey everyone, I'm officially back, and I want to thank everyone for the love and support while I took some time away to focus on my brain and get healthy for my family, my friends, and myself. And I also want to thank Ben Young for stepping up and filling in on the shows that I missed. He's a true gentleman and a scholar, and I am stoked to be back in action. Can't wait to see everyone on tour this summer." And that's all I have in music news. Now we can give away our secret text word prize. So, Kathy, I would like you to give me a caller, please.
13.
All right. I like it. Call number 13, 215-263-WMMR. If you know the secret text word and you are the 13th caller, we've got tickets for Kevin James playing Friday, June 16th, the Academy of Music. We'll give away a random pair, too, in a little bit. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
After a long break, one of our favorite musical features returns. Pierre Robert hosts an intimate conversation and musical performance as WMMR presents an MM Archive Session starring the Revivalists. Tune in Friday at 2 p.m. for what promises to be an outstanding session. The first event in our brand new performance studio with MMR favorites, the Revivalists. Sponsored by Concord Music, C3 Management, and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Nickelback on 93.3 WMMR, those days. Casey described it as the most Nickelback song he's ever heard. Which is kind of
true.
I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah.
You can't get more Nickelback than that.
I'm not gonna knock on Nickelback because it's just an easy punchline. They do write some.
You're not gonna knuckle back.
I'm not gonna knuckle back.
No knuckle backing. No, I'm with you. There are some songs I like, and some are like,
dude. I saw them in concert one year, 2013, 2014, something like that, and it was a great show.
I can't believe
how much fun I had, and I went in completely skeptical, completely ready to knuckle back them, and I enjoyed it. I really, it was a good time.
I love Knuckleback now.
Yeah.
It could be a new favorite. But those days, that's the name of that song. It is 10:41, and it's Wednesday morning. Wednesday's a new Monday.
It sure is.
Because we haven't done our letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize yet. And
they say you get more work done in a 3-day, 5-day work week.
Okay, so I don't know who we're going to.
Again, like line 5.
Again with the phones here, I don't know. Hi, Mr. Caller, what's your name?
My name's Ed.
Hey, Ed. Nice to have you on, bud. All right, Ed, if you tell me the secret text word, you get a prize. What is it?
Is it fingernail?
Yes. Yeah. Hold on a moment, Ed. We'll get you info. We're going to set you up. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Kevin James, the Irregardless Tour, Friday, June 16th, the Academy of Music. And tickets are on sale now via KimmelCulturalCampus.org. And our random texter was Diane Skelza, who is from Collegeville. So, Diane, congratulations. Same thing. You're going to see Kevin James Friday, June 16th at the Academy of Music. Tickets on sale, like I said, KimmelCulturalCampus.org. So congratulations to you. Pierre Robert is here. How you doing, man?
Good day.
Were you in yesterday?
No.
Okay, neither were we.
Yeah, so first day back for all of us.
Wonderful. Welcome to it.
Thank you.
Did you have an enjoyable holiday weekend?
Yes.
Awesome. Did you go anywhere?
I did.
Where did you go?
California.
How was it?
Wow.
It was lovely.
Excellent.
I was out on a boat on Lake Tahoe just yesterday, in fact.
Wonderful.
Gorgeous.
So, yeah, it was really lovely, yeah. Quite lovely.
Excellent. Well, I guess letter of the day then?
Yes.
All right, let's do that thing.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
R as in revivalists.
All right, and we are going to give away a Dad's Want Steak Package. That's what it's called.
They do.
Yeah, it's from Omaha Steaks. It includes butcher's cut top sirloins, Omaha Steaks burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, Omaha Steaks seasoning, and more. And you can get Dad what he really wants. Omaha Steaks, perfectly aged, always tender, and guaranteed delicious. Use promo code WMMR at checkout to get $30 off of your order, and minimum order may be required. So we'll give it away. Just need 3 letters. That's right, mister. And we'll give it away on Friday. We're looking forward to it. What's coming up on the program today, sir?
Speaking of revivalists, we will have a pair of tickets for their show coming up at The Man on July 12th and Friday at 2 p.m., as you mentioned earlier. We will do the playback of the revivalist archive session we did. Blocks today of Led Zeppelin for John Bonham's birthday would be 75. Struts and Fleetwood Mac.
Excellent. All right. That's a full boat.
And yes, sir.
I would like to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Duncan. Preston and Steve Show runs on Duncan. Also brought to you by Polar Seltzer. Why be flat when you can sparkle? Refreshingly natural Polar Seltzer. Tomorrow on the program, our buddy Drew Gulak from the WWE.
Love that guy.
He'll be in studio. He's always great chat and loves this area. Composer Laura Karpman will be joining us tomorrow morning.
She's a Michael Giacchino acolyte, and she is the composer for the new Marvels movie that's coming out later this year. And it's going to get its world debut right in Philadelphia.
That's excellent.
Philadelphia Orchestra, yeah.
And we love adding to our roster of composers on the program, which is really cool. Don't forget, Haverford High School in Havertown, you get to vote for coolest teacher. If you go to school there, text or a teacher to 3933. Get the voting link tomorrow morning. Bright and early, we'll find out who that winner is. That's it. We're done. Rage on and have a great day, and we will see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve.
On 93 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the ba-ba-choo-da-ba-choo-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.